James Whale on Talk Radio.
Because if they're not animal lovers, they don't have any animals. When you actually have to have one put down, they get all sort of, oh, it's just a dog, it's just a cat.
Get another one is the line, isn't it? It's the worst.
Yep, it's the worst.
I had my, sorry to interrupt, James.
No, it's all right.
I had my Velvet, who was nearly 21, my little cat, had her put down a little while ago. It was devastating because she'd been with me for 19 years.
Yeah.
Known her longer than I know my wife.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And did you hold her while she was...
Yeah, I did. And
so
it was,
did I.
I was in pieces. I was in pieces.
Yeah. And I was trying to be really tough and very macho, but I couldn't manage it.
No. And then the vet very kindly said, I'll leave you two alone. We had a little bit of time together before she went. And then when she passed, he let me stay with her for a little while.
And I sat and you know, I mean, same with cats, but she just looked at me and I looked at her and I said, look, I know life's not been very nice to you at the moment.
I'm going to start crying.
No, don't be silly.
I'm going to start crying because I still miss my little girl.
You know, because... Yeah, I've had trouble. I think as I'm getting older, I'm getting more emotional. I see bits and pieces now in films and stuff, and I start getting a bit weepy myself. Maybe that's what happens when you get older. But
you're supposed to be. Are you the hard man of radio, or is that me? One of us is the hard man of radio.
No, I'm not. You can be. One of us is a shock jock, and one isn't.
That's it. I'm not sure which one it is.
No.
Changes.
Really. It depends who you upset.
But you are the shiny headed
bald-headed git.
I would sue for that. That's offensive.
Yeah, I know, but I don't care. If I do care, people will know. But I really don't care at the moment.
For you.
But you know, I was holding Shaggy and talking to him, and I talked to all my dogs.
You probably talked
to your cats.
Yeah.
And when Melinda died, if I hadn't had them, I would have just got in the car and I contemplated it and just drive. I was going to drive to the tunnel. I was going to go through the tunnel. And I was going to drive and drive and drive and drive.
Oh, mate.
But, you know, that's a few years ago now, so one has to get on. I had dogs to look after. I had three, now I've got two. And I'm thinking of rescuing a couple of old dogs.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, because nobody looks after them, nobody cares.
No.
And their owners die, or people have to go into homes.
Everyone wants the puppies, the cute puppies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I've never not had a dog. But I have to admit, I'd never been the one who held the dog when it was put down before. Melinda always did that. And I never realised exactly how traumatic it is. So if you're going to get an animal, first of all, I don't approve you saying, well, it's going to live in the kitchen. We're not having it in the rest of the house.
It's part of the family.
What is the point of having an animal?
Yeah.
And so sadly, Shaggy is... Shaggy's actually in a tube now waiting for me to... sprinkle her somewhere.
I've got Velvet's ashes in a little box, and for a while they sat in her bed, and now they're sat on the windowsill.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably stay there for a bit.
Yeah. I don't know how, I mean, it's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? I've got parts of my wife's ashes, and, you know, you don't know where to... there are all sorts of places you think of putting them.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like, you know, that's not them, and it's just a bit of something that you feel like doing. I was going to mix some of them with the... with Shaggy's and anyway,
that'd be nice.
But the point of this is, if you're going to get an animal, this is going to be part of it.
Yeah,
and even,
saying goodbye.
Yeah, even a guinea pig or a mouse or whatever pet you have, when it goes, it is going to be traumatic. And it's going to be traumatic. But it is.
It's really upsetting. Yeah. Really upsetting.
Yeah. So I'll leave you with that thought. Sorry to be so depressing. What a down thing to end your program on. I'm just going to say this. Boo!
Die!
Talk Radio, across the UK, late night with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Shirley would gulp down her breakfast, shut the fridge and joined the throng. Margaret Beatty snatched the milk and scanned the news and went along. Annie Harris drew the curtains, screwed her eyes up, had a peep. Saw the marchers, heard their voices making early morning noises. Stumbled back to bed and tried to sleep. Come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed. So full of praise, when we've rearranged your world, we're gonna change. Shuffling through the cold.
cold black morning went the marcher's spirit slow, grunting greetings, grimly pressing on to where they had to go. When the sun came up, they brightened, stopped to have their thermos brew. Annie Harris got up gladly, pondered for a little sadly, then got on with what she had to do. So come with us, run with us, we're gonna change the world. You'll be amazed, so full of praise, when we've rearranged your world. We're gonna change your world. At their target numbers swollen, up the marchers banners go, chanting, shouting out with leaflets, protest for everyone to know. Sit in front of all the traffic, harried, busy shopping wives, try to stir their ostrich notions, whip them up to wild emotions, put some fire into their wretched lives. So come with us, run with us, we're gonna change the world. You'll be amazed, so full of praise, when we rearrange your world, we're gonna change. Drag still sitting by a policeman from the road. Margaret Beatty had her face slapped by a man she tried to goad. Annie Harris in the office paused in typing, thought of Don, glanced again at his last letter, died for others to live better, brushed away a tear and carried on.
Good evening, dear listeners. Oh, yeah. It's Matt Munro, but in like a weird mono thing, so you don't hear the guitar bit. Don't hear it. The late night alternative. I haven't done one of these on my own for ages. Kath is not here, which is outrageous behaviour. And I don't really know where I don't really know where to go. There's some like, here's the thing, right? There's some stuff in the news today that I really want to talk about, but I can't really talk about it because. Just, you know, it's probably best that we don't talk about it. But man alive, sometimes it's really hard, right? Doing this job, you know, this the point of this show, and people will disagree, and that's their prerogative, right? The kind of the through line of this show that we're going with at the moment is be kinder. That's it. Be kinder. And I just saw that Jamila is getting a load of flack again for what? I don't know. Why are people having a go at her? I don't understand. She seems like a nice woman. What has she done? Let's try and work out what Jamila has done wrong. And if you can fill me in on this, 0344-499-1000. What has she done wrong? She's talked openly about her depression and her anxiety, right? She's talked openly about feeling suicidal at times, right? Okay, well, you couldn't have a go at someone for that, could you? Oh, I get tweets telling me to hang myself. So I guess you could. What else? She was in that thing that was funny for three seasons, then stopped being for The Good Place. She was in a good TV show. Is it because she's British and she went to America and became successful over there? Is that it? I don't quite know. Why she's a target. It's not what the theme of the show is going to be, by the way. I mean, with the show, we'll have no theme tonight. I'm really trying to be kinder. And I'm trying to do it on air. And I'm trying to do it in my real life as well. And it's not my default setting. It's my default setting is to be mean and to poke fun. I wonder if that's a human thing or if... I wonder if that's a me thing. My default setting is to be mean and to poke fun at stuff. Right. So I'm making a conscious effort to be kinder. Okay? To be kinder. And I'm trying to do it on social media as well, and it's tough. Social media seems to be the toughest place to be kinder. We had some tweets yesterday to the show. People that didn't like me. They didn't like me, but then when you dug a little bit deeper into those tweets, you could see actually they were having their own kind of issues. They were having their own problems. You had to look a little bit deeper, but they were having their own problems. And so what we do is when, what a lot of us do, what I do is when I'm feeling lousy about myself is you can externalize it and take it out on someone who's not real. And of course, I'm the guy on the radio. I'm not a real person to most of you. So they were having a pop at me. And I extend the invitation that I did last night. If those people want to call in, 0344 499 1000, you'll speak to Elif tonight. She's going to take your name and number and call you straight back. Isn't she, Alan?
Yes, she is.
So, you're welcome to call in and have a chat. If you want to tweet abuse, that's cool. It's not cool. That's lousy, actually. But what I'm going to try and stop myself from doing is rising to the bait and fighting back. Because that's my default. Guessed after you, dickhead. It's my default thing, is to go and do that. So I'm going to try to not rise to that. And there are some of you that know how to push my buttons particularly. What I can do is if you tweet me and I don't like it, I can block you. If you tweet the station and I don't like it, I can block you from appearing in the studio for 24 hours. That's it. I can't block you from following Talk Radio, because we would be here all day blocking a lot of those scumbags. But I can block your tweet from appearing in the studio for 24 hours. So that's something. I guess... Oh, look, Ellie's got a bottle of champagne. What the? It's for me? What, from whom? Who's buying an alcoholic champagne, huh? What is this trap? What is this honey trap? Who's this from?
We don't know.
Well, you know I'm an alcoholic, right? Give it. Give it. Give it. If it's a present, it doesn't count, right, guys? Who's this from? This is, okay, it's a bottle of champagne. It just arrived, did it?
Yeah, it just arrived.
Yeah, that's not weird. That's not weird. You're covered in coronavirus. Oh, no. Well, thanks, guys. Well, there you go. Be kinder. I will give that to Catherine. There you go. Catherine, you can have a bottle of... Of course, the rule is never trust anything, food or drink-wise, that's been brought in by a listener. Never trust anything. Because we all remember Mike Mendoza eating a cream bun infused with LSD. Ken Moore says, am I still blocked? No, but you will be if you carry on with the tone of your stuff yesterday. You will be. Why can't we just be kinder, right? I went and visited my next-door neighbour today, Betty. She's in her 80s, right? And I've not been round there for ages, and it turns out she'd had quite a nasty fall. Dear Ian, please can you thank Dan Wootton for introducing me to BBC Radio in the afternoon? No, come on now. I went and saw my next-door neighbour, Betty, who's a lovely woman in her 80s, and she'd had a bit of a nasty fall, and I was going into Risborough, and I said, do you want anything? Can I get you anything? And she wanted some paracetamol, and turns out that all the chemists had just had a delivery of paracetamol. So I went and got her some, and do you know what? It was a nice thing to do. Why can't we just be kinder? Why can't we just be kinder, Alan?
Oh, no, it's not big and it's not clever to all you going on Twitter.
That's right. Well, it's not just Twitter. I mean, it's the world. It's human life.
Basically, it's not big and it's not clever.
Exactly, Alan. Hey, Alan, has anyone famous died?
No, not recently.
Thank God for that.
But there has been a film delay.
As with James Bond?
Yeah, Peter Rabbit 2 has been delayed for 4 months.
Yes!
Due to this coronavirus.
Due to the fact that film likes like a load of old rubbish. My kids want to go and see that. Now, often when I'm with my kids and we're in the cinema and all the trailers, can we go and see that? Yeah, sure. Can we go and see that? Oh, yeah, that looks good. Peter Rabbit 2 came up. Can we go and see that? Ask your mum. No interest in that movie whatsoever.
Well, I have to ask her in 4 months' time.
Okay.
Anyway,
sorry about that, Alan. I know you were looking forward to it. You enjoyed the first one so much.
I don't know. I'm not interested in being rubbish.
Yes, you are.
I only just read about it on the BBC News website.
You love Peter Rabbit so much.
I've never read it.
You've got a glove puppet in the shape of Peter Rabbit that you wear on your right hand when you go to bed.
I've never read Peter Rabbit.
Okay, I'm suspicious.
I want to talk about the budget build-up.
Flippin' heck, man.
But the budget's tomorrow.
Who cares?
But new Chancellor, new budget.
Well, all the budgets are new.
Well, it depends on who the Chancellor is.
Well, okay.
It's special because it's his first one.
Well, is this your thinking, Alan, that because Catherine isn't here tonight, that I've been...
Shut your face!
Be kinder, sorry. Would you please shut your face?
Okay.
Are you thinking that Catherine is intellectually slowing the show down and that now she's gone, I can do the newsy political show that I've always dreamed of?
First of all, I did not know Catherine's not here tonight.
Did you not?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I took a gamble, like I was going to Cheltenham.
Did you take a gamble at Cheltenham?
I did.
And what happened?
Fell at the first.
Well, do you know what, Alan?
Never trust a bookie.
No, this phone in about the Chancellor has fallen at the first as well. Thank you very much for your call. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So I went and saw my next door neighbour, Betty, who's lovely. And I tell you what's nice, actually, is she wanted some paracetamol, which I was very happy to go and get. And I was a bit naughty. I went to two chemists and bought two packs of paracetamol. Yeah, that's right. I don't play by the rules. I don't play by society's rules. And then I went and dropped them off, and she wanted to have a chat about the coronavirus because she didn't know nothing about it. And she was worrying a little bit. And I kind of told her, well, I mean, what can you tell a woman in her 80s? I said, don't worry. She was going to go to like a sort of, I don't know, like an old person's do. I don't know what you'd call it, like a gathering. Yeah. And she said, but one of her friends there, the friend's son had just come back from Milan. Should she be worried? And I went, well, it's probably, I would say don't be worried, but I'd be cautious about these things. And I think that's it, isn't it? There's an air of caution. I'm finding myself, I haven't wiped down the studio. I've got wipes. I've got disinfectant wipes and I've not wiped down the studio. I'm finding myself being more and more cautious about this. Partly because, and I mentioned this yesterday, because my mum is ill. My mum's got a weakened immune system and she's in a care home. And if it gets in there, man, we're screwed, isn't it? We're screwed. But we'll see. Can you tell? I'm just trying to find... I tell you what this feels like tonight, right, is that I'm stood at the bottom of... it's not a mountain. A mountain, I think, is too dramatic. I'm stood at the bottom of a hill, a steep hill. And I'm sort of looking up, going, right, well, I can get up the top. I can get up there easy. I've climbed this hill before. I remember how to climb this hill, but I can't quite remember the route that I need to get out there. So I'm just searching for a handhold at the moment. Little handhold, a little foothold, to see, I've been sent information that, fracking is... Ollie, you'd know about this. Are you a fan of fracking?
Oh, yeah. No, it causes earthquakes.
Well, apparently it's causing earth displacement and the world is tilting because of it.
And did you see that it sets water on fire in your tap?
That's not true.
It was in the documentary.
Yeah, the fire on water is definitely not true.
It sends gas down your water pipe.
Yeah, okay, but the fire at the water fire is untrue, which makes me...
gas comes out of the water.
Makes me wonder if... everything you've ever told me is a lie.
There is. Well, I've seen the guy come around people's houses and set their...
Have you? That reminds me. I saw this, Fred Bennett, man. I saw this amazing documentary the other day. I cannot remember the name of it. But it was about this orphan kid, right? Yeah. This little orphan boy. Did you see it?
don't think so.
It's this little orphan boy, right? And he gets adopted by this couple in this farm in America. And as he gets older, he's like able to run really fast and he can fly, because it turns out he's come from another planet.
Oh, shut up.
And then he grows up and he like turns, like, he comes up with his name Superman. And I saw it, but Ollie, I saw it. I saw him flying.
No.
I saw him flying, so it must be real, right?
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out and I'm going to get real evidence of the fight up.
I think his real name is, if you want to, he goes under the name Superman, but I think his real name is like Kal-El or something.
No, that's fake. That's
fake, is it? But the water on fire in the film that you've seen is real.
It might actually be called that.
Okie dokie. Saw another film about this kid gets bitten by a spider. But man, you don't even want to know what happens to that guy.
It's real. I'll prove it someday.
Okay. What can we do for you, Ollie?
You know those Reddit threads that are like, am I the a-hole? Have you seen those?
Well, I can answer that question, Ollie. Yes, you are.
Yeah, that was my question.
I don't know. I don't understand Reddit. Reddit looks like the internet from 1997 to me. I don't. Why do they not put graphics in there? Why do, at least, you know, GeoCities was better prepped than Reddit.
Yeah, I don't understand. I just see Twitter feeds on it and the a-hole threads.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm being quarantined by my family because I think...
Because you're a knob.
We live in London.
Oh, because you live in London.
Right. Yeah, and my mum is going to live on the shore for a week.
The shore?
The seaside town.
Seaside town, yeah.
Yeah, so she's going to quarantine herself in a seaside town, and my sister won't see me either. Because of 300 cases of coronavirus.
That's probably sensible.
Really? It's never going to end, though.
This is the guy who just said that if there's fracking near you and you turn on a tap, your water is on fire.
You know what? It does. It contaminates your tap.
And now he's going. Now he's upset because mummy won't come round and wipe his little bottom for him in case she gets the coronavirus.
That means I won't see my family forever again, because like, it's like 18 months, isn't it?
Take the hint.
Until we get a vaccine.
Take the hint.
Why?
Do you not think it's sensible? I think it's sensible. I asked my bosses yesterday, and I used that term really laughingly, because we all know they're just phone operators done good. I asked my bosses, when do they have a plan for people, producers and presenters, to do the show from home? And they said, yeah, but we're not telling anyone. And I went, okay. Because I don't really, you know, I don't travel on public transport at the moment. I'm not really in that much contact with people. But it kind of makes sense that if you can work from home and if you can isolate. Basically, what I'm saying is I would be quite up for isolating. I think it's going to have to happen soon anyway because I've got a real feeling that tomorrow... This is just a feeling, I don't know. Tomorrow the government are going to close schools. That's my feeling.
Yeah.
And when that happens, I'm going to have to share... Going to have to, as though I don't want to. I'm going to, with great pleasure and pride, share looking after my kids with their mum. And that will mean... Oh, gosh. Jacob McGregor, that is not a kind... That is not a be kinder tweet. But I'm not going to read it because I'm going to block that guy because he's not very nice. He's basically called you a thick bell, but I've blocked him.
Me?
Yeah, but he's a racist. So.
Why?
He's a racist.
Over what?
I don't know.
Not the fire one. Fire water.
Here we go. Freddie Wallace says here we go. So I've asked, what is the problem with Jameela Jamil? And Freddie says the problem with Jamil is her positivity message is vacuous.
Oh.
What does that mean? Now, do I block Freddie Wallace? Is that a blockable offence?
I think so. What's wrong with being positive?
It's vacuous. But she's also, she's added Jameela Jamil in it.
Yeah, that's scummy.
Is that a blockable offence?
Yeah.
It is a blockable offence.
Yeah.
Blocked. Right, I was talking about something really important.
working from home.
Oh, yeah. So, I do suspect, and this is just my suspicion, right, I don't know anything, that tomorrow or early next week the government is going to close schools, and then I'll have to share looking after my kids with my ex, so they'll stay there, and they'll, you know, she goes to work, which means I will have to work from home, because I ain't bringing the kids in, because they're idiots, and I'm not going to get a babysitter, because I've seen horror films. So, I'll have to work from home, and if they close schools down,
yeah,
workplaces will have to accommodate parents working from home where possible, won't they?
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense, because they're saying, like, oh, you'll have to take 14 days isolation, where people don't get enough, they won't be able to afford to take time off. Like, people do pay for, what's the pay per contract or whatever? Pay, you know, you get paid by...
What do they call that? No one tell me, no one tell me. Unless you know it, Ollie. No one out there tell me. They call it pay-per-view. What is it called?
A brief...
Contract hourly. It's a word, isn't it? It's a phrase. It's not very popular. Open-ended contract.
Yeah.
What's it
called? Something like that. We know what it is.
But we don't know the word. Do we? And that's the thing. And we don't.
Sarah.
No, don't ask. We're not allowed to ask. This is me and you. Elephant Alex aren't going to tell... What? Hello? Hello? Don't ask her. If you ask her, you're getting cut off. What is this? If he comes back and she's told him.
I'm back.
Where are you? Why are you quiet? Hello? Ollie? Have you shrunk? Ollie, where are you? Ollie? What's happened? Ollie? Mate, did she put a hex on you? Ollie? Okay, well, Ollie seems to have shrunk there. That's the first time I've ever had to end a call because the caller shrank. Good evening, Gareth.
Hello, what was I going to say? no, I was wanting to talk about just having a tough time at the moment.
What's going on for you, my friend?
I remember phoning you a long time ago about I suffer from severe anxiety.
Yeah.
Well, I've been on medication since 2016, and just the last couple of, there was no trigger, just the last couple of weeks there's been like panic attacks in public, and I'm a very outgoing person, so... There was no trigger, but I went to a GP and he says that they tried buspirone, and he was saying that it takes away 4 or 5 weeks, but it's been a tough week, but I'm trying to remain positive.
Is that a drug that he's prescribed for you?
Yeah, medication, yeah.
Okay, and are you taking that drug?
Yeah, every day, yeah.
And how long have you been taking it for?
Since last Wednesday.
Okay, so it's 6 days?
Yeah.
Now listen, I can't give you any advice on medication or drugs. All I can say is listen to your doctor and do not change anything without talking to your doctor. What I do know from my own personal experience is that it takes like it, most of the time the drugs when I start taking them takes about 3 weeks for anything to kick in.
Yeah. It was just tough because the intrusive thoughts and all, I'm not too suicidal, but the thoughts were something else, and then your mind starts to wander, but I'm trying to keep myself busy, and I'm enjoying the show tonight, and it's good to listen to you whenever I'm down and stuff, so you help me, if you know what I mean, by listening to you. So, do you know what I mean?
Have you got any, when you have a panic attack, and I've only ever had two, I think, and they're devastating, have you got any things, any tricks or techniques that you can use to kind of help you get through it?
This is going to sound a bit weird, but I would let them wash over me.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't help in the here and the now, but I try to remain at the rational side of my brain says to me that it's only panic.
Yeah.
But that's like short-lived because there's a lot of work that I have to put on mentally to do it. And it's tough because it can fry your head at times and you just have to take a step back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is tough. I think trying to stay in the present and trying to be aware that it is not real. Well, it is real for you, but that it is, you know, that it is coming. Trying to stay in the present, I think, is a really important key. How are you this very second, Gareth?
I just feel what I got, that it's always in the what way could I describe? But it's always in, like, it's like always in the back of my head, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it's like, it's just there. Like, it's like people describe it as, it's like, You're constantly waiting for it. Sounds odd, but it's like you're waiting for a panic, but you're trying to keep yourself on the straight and narrow. You're trying to keep the rational side of my brain saying it'll pass.
Keep looking
but it's
forward.
It's very hard when I'm out in public, if you know what I mean.
I do know
like
what you mean.
My day-to-day activities and stuff.
Keep looking forward. You're a good man, and this will get better.
Yeah. I've been enjoying the show, so thanks very much for letting me on.
Gareth, always a pleasure, mate. Thank you. Let's go to Joanne. Good evening, Joanne.
Hello.
Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Ian. I'm a registered blind person, I'll start
off
with that.
Yes.
I've never heard of you until you was on I'm a Celebrity.
I didn't want blind people to know about me. I was trying to keep it a secret from the blind community, Joanne. That's a joke.
I can actually see a bit, but that doesn't matter. I'm still registered blind. But,
I was joking. So, it was a joke. It was a poor attempt at a joke, and I can only apologise.
It's all right. Look, I'll forgive you.
Thank you.
So I can't read newspapers. I'm not into technology, so I knew nothing about you whatsoever.
Ooh, okay. I like that. That's a great place to be.
Nothing at all.
Good.
Apart from you, when you did the strawberry thing with Amir.
Yeah.
And I didn't know talk radio still existed. I used to listen to it years ago, and then it turned to Talk Sport, the other one.
Yeah.
And then my brother told me, I got a Google Minute, and my brother told me that talk radio still existed. And you were just on there?
Yeah, talk radio is coming up, I think, in the March the 21st. I think it's 4 years old this time round. So, longest job I've ever had. Don't know what's happening after June, but it's the longest job I've ever had.
Well, what I've run for tonight is, I didn't know much. I was listening to you and James before the news.
Yes.
And I don't know much about James, to be honest. I used to listen to him on the radio years ago.
He's a knob, yes.
no, but how you both so...
Sensitive.
You both love animals so
sensitive,
much, and I just...
I got my four cats. I had five. Now I've got my four cats. What names, please, Joanne?
Kit, because we couldn't think of a name when he was a kitten, so he's just Kit now.
Yep.
Marmalade.
Yep.
George.
Oh, I've got a George.
And Queen.
There we go. I've got a George, a Patty, a Lucky, and a Mucky. Can you guess which two were named by my 8 and 10-year-old children? But cats are the best, man. Cats are the best. Here's the thing. I don't get dogs. I don't get dog people. I respect to them for doing it. But cats, they're just the best company. Do your cats sleep on your bed?
Oh, they're just absolutely amazing. I actually lost my dog last year, Ian.
Mate,
she was 14 and a half. Last August we lost her, and Tinkerbell. And she was a Border Terrier, and we got a picture of a massive canvas on the wall of her. And Tinkerbell, you know, dogs, they'll either take to each other or they don't. But she wouldn't let one of the cats near me. She used to always chase it off because she wanted to be near me. And since she's died... This cat's been such, I don't know, when I've been sad and stuff, it just comes up to me.
Cats know when you're feeling low, man, and they come and sit. We're all cat people here, right? We're all cat people here tonight. Cats come and they know when you're feeling low, and they know when you want to be on your own or when you want a little bit of company.
The other three are not bothered, Ian. One of them just wants feed. There you go,
the greedy gits as well.
And we have the two in that, you know, but I love our animals, Ian, and it absolutely breaks my... Well, I try not to listen to the sad things that happen about them, because it literally breaks my heart, and I can't save all of them, which breaks my heart.
Exactly, we can't, and I keep going on. I'm trying to find someone, right, I'll talk about that after 11, who I'm trying to find. And someone said, oh, they quite often post on this cat rescue Facebook page. So I'm then over at this cat rescue Facebook page, and every post is like this little kitten or this little stray, or and I'm thinking, I'll have that one, I'll have that one. I can't do it. I can't have any more cats. I've got four, that's plenty. Thank you very much indeed.
Well, I'm in the council house and I'm on benefits and I've got a daughter, so people come to my door, do you want to take another one, John? And I think, oh, one more won't hurt.
Nadine Doris has got the coronavirus, guys. The health minister, Nadine Doris, has got the coronavirus, guys. That's the breaking news that's coming in. I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing at her having it. I'm laughing that she's the health minister because she's absolutely useless. But that's where we're at. If the health minister has it, doesn't that mean it just like it's like the trickle down economy? It filters onto all of us like a golden shower.
You know, the other I've got lots in common with you, Ian.
Uh-oh, here we go. And this is where it starts to get a little bit weird.
I am...
nuts.
...coming up 15 years sober from alcohol.
Well done, you. I was 15 years, and then I had a cheeky little relapse, went and did a little bit more experimentation with crystal meth. With crystal meth! Imagine me on crystal meth! Oh, flipping out, man. Oh, I was fighting with Jesus.
I'm very lucky. But I wasn't offered anything else when I was drinking, because I would have took anything.
Well done, 15 years. I'm going to be 2 years in a couple of weeks, so that's good, isn't it?
Well, I had 3 complimentary drinks after 8 years in an hotel. So,
okay.
I've just done 7 years again.
Well done. Joanne, listen, I've got to move, because... it was getting weird. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000. Good evening, Fran.
Hiya.
Hello.
Finally.
What do you mean?
I've been on hold for ages.
How long you been on hold for?
About 7 minutes.
Exactly. It's nothing.
Yeah, I know. I'm a first-time caller.
How long you been listening for?
Tonight or in general?
You clever thing. In general, you muppet.
Probably about 2 months.
Okay, that's not a long time listener, first time caller.
No,
I don't have to get my mail out.
No, my brother put me in touch with you.
Okay.
And said, you've got to listen to him.
You've got to. I like the sound of your brother. He sounds like a cool guy. Can I just say, it has been noted that... Catherine is not in this evening. She's back tomorrow. But okay. More women are phoning while Catherine is not here.
Oh, maybe there's a reason behind that.
Though. Maybe there is, but she's doing Fridays from now on because I'm taking Fridays off.
I know.
She'll be good. I like her.
Yeah. What was I going to say?
Oh.
Yes. I wanted to... Yeah, you said last night about your... I can get the feed back and turn it off.
Fran, have you taken LSD tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes perfect sense then. I'm diving into the psychedelic riot that is your mind.
No, you said last night about that you've got 10-year-olds to however year old. My 8-year-old listens to you.
Oh,
and
God.
Last week, when you were at the awards, he said, where's he and me? Why is he not on?
Yeah.
And he was listening to whoever was on. And, he was quite upset that you weren't there. That's part of his bed night routine. Is that wrong?
Eight years old, he listens to this?
Yeah.
As part of his bedtime routine?
Yeah.
Is that... And when does he switch it off? When he's finished his fags and vodka? What are you doing?
Do you think it's wrong?
I think it's too late.
No.
Yes. He goes to school, right?
Yeah.
Yes, too late. I think, at least I'm not telling you how to parent, but it's too late.
Okay.
Well, what time? Well, when does he? When is sleepy time for him?
Well, no, it's usually on catch up.
Oh, okay. So he's not listening. Well, hang on. I'm getting confused, or I'm hearing the sound of someone backsliding. Is it?
Yeah, a bit of both.
Right. Okay. So does he listen live?
Sometimes at the weekend. Well, you're not on at the weekend.
Oh, Fran, this is the worst. This is he listens live, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What time do you switch it off?
Well, I listen to it sort of going on, but he falls asleep about 10:30.
And he's 8?
Yeah.
What time does he get up for school?
7.
Flipping it, man.
Yeah, but he's so much more in the know.
And also, I mean, listen, I'm aware the show gets a little bit rude at times because we have young people listening.
Well, but I turn it off if it's anything to do with
fannies and things.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, is he listening now?
Yeah. No, he's not.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Hey, listen, it's your call, but personally, on a school night, I would, you know, but to be honest, we need as many listeners as we can get at this failing show.
Yeah, true.
We need as many as we can get. We're desperation stakes here.
Anyway, on a different note, actually, that wasn't what I was going to call about.
No.
It was your last caller.
You've not told him that I'm his dad, have you?
No.
Good?
No. Nope.
Good?
Not like on Angry Birds. You've seen the film.
I have seen the film. I'm trying...
Daddy.
Yes, okay, yes, I remember that. I thought Angry Birds 2 was an absolute crock.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I wouldn't bother.
No.
The show's not really taken off yet, has it?
No.
Anyway, Fran, on a different note.
Okay, I was going to talk about antidepressants.
Here we go.
Okay, so I've been on antidepressants for quite a long time.
Yes.
And I've recently come off them in the last probably 6 weeks. There's been a lot going on, but I feel so much better not being on them.
Good for you. Excellent.
And I feel as if there's something coming back to me that I was in a bit of a lull.
Yeah.
And just, I didn't know. It's been so long, it's probably about 7 years. And now, listening to the last caller, that really there is so much more to be, they have their place, but I just feel stronger.
But here's the thing, I think we have to be very careful about generalising about things like antidepressants.
I'm not generalising.
No, exactly. I just want to make clear that that's your experience, and that's great,
yeah,
and that's brilliant, and I'm really glad that you coming off them has worked for you. It doesn't for everyone.
I know.
Can I ask you a really, really... It's a really personal question.
Yes.
It's really personal.
Okay.
Is your kid... You promised me your kid isn't listening.
He's not. No.
It's one of the most intimate questions you could ask a human being.
Okay.
When you're on antidepressants, could you come?
No.
Exactly. They never tell you that.
That's what I'm talking about.
They never tell you that. I was watching, there's a great comedian called Dave Foley, who's one of the kids in the hall, and they're getting back together. Anyway, I watched this stand-up thing on Netflix, and he does this whole bit about being on antidepressants and not being able to come. And I went, oh my God, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Exactly
when I'm on them, I can't.
Though.
Sorry?
That's what actually I'm talking about.
Is it?
Yes.
So you can come now.
Yes.
Yeah, baby. It's someone, one of the listeners, I've mentioned this before on air, and one of the listeners said it's like running a really good marathon, and then they just keep moving the finishing line a little bit further away, a little bit further away, until eventually you go, ah, do you know what? I give up. But so now, you're all the time.
Yeah, I'm feeling like thinking, no,
No, it's not just about that.
No.
I'm just feeling like I can just get out there a bit more. I haven't been in a relationship for a long, long time.
No.
And, I just feel as if something's been lifted.
Well, I'm really pleased for you.
Yeah.
Good.
You've obviously just got what I was talking about.
I totally got there, Frank. Thank you for sharing that, and get your boy to bed. Good evening, Tina.
Oh, hiya. How you doing?
I'm fine. Are you on speakerphone?
No.
Really?
Really?
You don't sound anywhere... Are you in the same room as your phone?
Absolutely.
You sound miles away.
Well, I'm not.
I'm going to take your word for it, Tina.
I was just reading to say, Caddick said no one famous had died. Max van Sydow died.
Oh, yeah, Max van... Now, I don't know how you... Is that how you say his name, van Sydow?
Well, I'm assuming that's how you say it.
Because I don't know, and I saw he died yesterday. You're right, actually. Caddick's totally let the side down.
No, it's rubbish. And the guy off Eggheads.
Oh, yeah, one of the Eggheads died. Yeah, I mean, yes, I mean, Von Sydow is, you know, slightly bigger star. But, Alan Caddick is fired as our celebrity death correspondent.
Yeah.
Tina, I would like to give you the unpaid job of being our celebrity death correspondent, our CDC.
I'll be on death watch.
Would you mind being on death watch for us?
No, I'd love it.
Nice one. Anything else, Tina?
I was going to say, that coronavirus thing, I've been washing my hands so much I couldn't get in my phone. It wouldn't recognise my thumbprint anymore.
You scrubbed your thumbprint off?
I had no print on my hand.
Holy jackamole, this is terrible.
Isn't it?
I'm actually, because regular or long-term listeners will know, I was a very dirty man. I would never wash my hands after urinating. My argument was that I wasn't peeing on my hand, and I'm going to use some vile language, my penis was clean.
My husband says, he has the same thing, he says, I don't touch a filthy thing.
Okay. Gosh. But I wouldn't wash my hands after a pee. I'd wash it after a number two. That was sometimes. Sometimes what I would do, Tina, get this, is if there were people outside the toilet that could hear me, I would turn the tap on.
But not wash them.
But not wash. Now that's nuts.
At that.
Maybe I'm too honest on this show. We get praised for the honesty on this show, but I'm wondering if perhaps I'm a little bit too honest.
Yeah, I think you might be.
I'm going to stop now. But now I'm washing my hands. I'm loving washing my hands. I feel clean.
I'm washing mine too much now, though. I mean, I keep putting antibacterial stuff on as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got a little bit silly. I hope I don't end up with an OCD.
Well, I know what you mean. It's such a strange time, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I've not been out for a coffee or for a meal for ages.
Yeah.
And I just feel a bit weird around people. I mean, weird.
You do, don't you? Anyway, yeah, you look at them and think, are they clean?
Yeah, yes, you do.
I mean, you are, definitely now, aren't you?
I had a bath today.
Good boy.
Thank you, Mummy. I'd forgotten how... invigorating and revitalising having a bath is.
Oh, it's lovely.
It's great.
Well, I don't have a shower, so I have to have a bath.
Do you? Do you need someone to scrub your back?
Are you offering?
No. Do you remember? I bet you're... how old are you? 52?
54.
Oh, I was two out. I'll take two out. Any more than that, it doesn't count. Then you'll be old enough to remember. You might still have them. You know when people just had baths and no one had showers or power showers?
Yeah.
And you'd get those rubber things that you'd shove on the end of the taps that you'd have a shower head with.
Yes, I do. Wash our hair with that.
Yeah, yeah. Mum used to wash the hair with it. And it was these big rubber kind of things that just... you'd shove them onto the end of the taps.
Yeah, and this gets... stuck really hard because you forced them on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happy days.
Go and make love to your husband.
Yeah, no, you're all right.
Tina! Outrageous behaviour. Thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000. Genuine question. Can we find this out? I mean, it's unlikely. Has Nadine Dorris been in here in the past week speaking to us? Has she been a guest on any? It's unlikely. But has she been a guest? And I'm not saying that. I'm not being mean about Nadine Dorris. I'm not a fan. But she's been found she's got coronavirus. I'm not a fan. I hope she gets well. Genuinely, right? But the circle gets closer, doesn't it? The circle gets smaller and smaller. Julia and Mike quite often have politicians on their shows. So it's a rational question. Has Nadine Dorris sat in this studio? Because then it brings it just that step closer. I'm not saying it to panic or anything, but that's where we're at now. That's where we're at. 03... That was a nice warm-up hour. I'd call that a warm-up hour. I wouldn't consider that. Some great calls. Thank you very much. Lots of... it is interesting, isn't it? Could be just a coincidence. I'm not in any way... I love Kath. She's my best mate. And she is... I'm arguing with people on a Facebook page about coronavirus. But do you know the theme of the Facebook page? It's 1960s pop group The Monkees. We're arguing about the coronavirus on there. Kath is my best mate. She's not been in since May of last year. Okay, great. Thank you. Kat's my best mate and I love her. And I'm so looking forward to her doing doing Fridays when I'm not in. That's great. But what was the point I was going to... I had a really good point I was going to make there. And it's just... I forgot what the point was. It was a point about Kath. Coronavirus. Okay. Okay, Ollie's sending me newspaper articles, which I haven't got time to read, mate. As I don't know if you've noticed, I'm a little bit busy doing a radio show. What was I going to say? I feel like the show, this is a warm-up show. Oh, got it. Maybe it's coincidence, or maybe it's not. Isn't it interesting we've had more women callers tonight that Kath isn't here? It's probably a coincidence. It's probably a coincidence, but it's funny. On the shows where Catherine is doing them on her own and I'm not here, which is Fridays for the next few weeks at least, it's a different type of caller. You get the regulars, obviously, but there's a different type of caller. And it's been so long since I've done a show on my own, I'd kind of forgotten that you get different types of callers. And we seem to be getting a lot of what I like to call women calling in, which is absolutely fine. I'm very, very pleased with that. We're not really talking. What have we talked about? We've talked about Jameela Jamil. If anyone can give me a reason why she gets so much hate without atting her in a tweet, that would be awesome. But if anyone can tell me why she is the target of such vitriol online and on air, it has to be said. I genuinely can't work it out. Has she killed babies? Is that what she's done? Is she, like, killed babies? No. Is she a Nazi? No. So why is she getting so much hate? 0344 499 1000. The coronavirus, you know, is being talked about because that's, I suppose that's kind of a big thing. You know how this show works, is we just sit here and we chat and it's like you're in a bar or a cafe or something and the chat is like a normal chat. Anyway, you can give us a call about anything is what I'm trying to say. Very, very simple. You phone up and you'll speak to Elif. She will take your name and number. We'll give you a call back. Sean, if you're listening, if you want to phone up and apologise, tonight is the night. Sean, if you want to phone and apologise for swearing at young woman, very welcome. And then we'll let you on the air. It's as simple as that. 0344 499 1000. Lee, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. This is the Late Night Alternative weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Across the UK. Late Night with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
much as I do in this light she's under. Me and Magdalena, always leaving early and sleeping late.
Actual monkeys. Imagine, it's the monkeys.
And I don't know if I've ever loved any other half as much as I do in this light she's under.
So, for some reason, on and off for quite a while, I've been thinking a lot. Make your own jokes, guys. Make your own jokes. Thinking a lot about Joe Guest. Do you remember Joe Guest from the 90s? Remember Joe Guest from the 90s? She was what we used to call a glamour model. And what that meant was you saw everything. And, you know, and it was a lot of men, a lot of women will have very fond memories of seeing her naked and masturbating to pictures of her, to put it bluntly. And I met Joe Guest in the early 2000s when I was in the depths of my addiction doing a weird little program called Flipside that later evolved into Gogglebox. And she was one of the guests on it. And she was really nice. And I think that's the only time I met her. She was really, really nice. And it was one night. What do I know? She seemed a little bit lost, but I don't really know. And I've just been thinking about her a bit. She was on TV on This Morning, maybe 10 years ago, saying that she had fibromyalgia, which is, I think, I don't really know what that is. I think it's a condition where you're in a lot of pain and you got nerves. Your nerves are painful. And she looked older than her years. And I've just been thinking about her a bit and I sort of did a little look for her today online. Nothing. Nothing, not on Twitter. Not got a website. Nothing. And I think I found her. I think I found her through a couple of people on Twitter have pointed, given me a couple of directions to look in. And I think I found her. And I've just sent a little message. I've just tried to make contact. Because I would love to see that she's okay. In the spirit of be kinder, not in any way. Hey, listen, I think we're both 90s survivors. A lot of us are 90s survivors. And not in any way to, you know, make cheap jokes about her former career as a glamour model. You know, the pictures were great, if I'm completely honest. As a teenager, as a 20-something, as a 20-something, I loved them. Deny otherwise. But obviously there's so much more. She became a really big celebrity as well. She became a celebrity before sort of porn became acceptable. Porn's a bit more acceptable now. And, you know, back then it was still kind of frowned upon a bit. There was an element of crossover with the FHM nuts, lads, mags kind of thing. But Joe was a little bit more on the porny side than kind of the lads, mag side. She did both, I think. And I've just been thinking, I hope she's all right. I hope she's all right. And wouldn't it be nice just to have a chat with her and see if she's all right physically. See if she's still suffering from fibromyalgia. It's something I don't know much about. And I think it's one of those conditions that's kind of with you forever, I think. But I could be wrong. It'd be nice to know if she's getting any recovery there. Also would be interesting, if she was up for talking about it, what she makes of her former career, whether she has any regrets. Because I look back, I wasn't a glamour model, I'd be disappointed here. But I look back at stuff that I was doing 22 years ago with a mixture of embarrassment and shame and a little bit of pride. They're all kind of mixed. You know, I'm doing this thing on Sunday nights, which I'm starting again, where I watch an old episode of the 11 o'clock show and we do like a director's commentary kind of thing. And it's really hard work. I've stopped doing it for 2 weeks. Actually, I found it a little bit intense, really, going over that. And I was slightly more ashamed of what was coming out of my mouth. Also, I know it's about to get worse. The early stuff is quite whimsical. It's about to really, you know, when we start doing Shipman jokes, oh, geez. I don't know how much more of those we'll do. But, and I'd just be keen to know what she thinks of that career and what she's doing now. So, why am I saying this? Because I have reached out to her in a way that I'm not going to say because I don't want to give any clues. But if anybody listening knows her, just say, she probably won't remember me. I met her once on a show, and I was off my nut. So who knows what was going on? But just say, you know, I'd kind of like to have a chat with her on the show one night if she wants. And she can either come in or I can go and visit her and we can do it. And just see, do you ever do that? You ever get that? You worry about people that you've not seen on the telly for 15, 20 years. You go, I wonder if they're all right. What if they're all right? And sometimes they're all right, they're having the time of their life, and sometimes their life is an absolute car crash. I'm not for a second suggesting that Joe's life is a car crash, but I'm just curious. Anyway, I'm probably going to have to report Ollie on Twitter because he's like spreading a lot of fake news about water on fire. So probably if we can all report Boglet Hermit, that would be great. Good evening, Lee.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
What you got for us, Lee?
Just firstly, I'd like to, I can relate to what you're saying about past regrets. Yeah. I suffer from ADHD, and when I find something I love, I'm 90 miles an hour at it, and I love it. But, you know, if I give me something to do that I don't want to do, I find it really difficult. And, you know, I want to go big shout out to Tyson Fury, you know, for all he's done for the mental health, you know, people in the world that, you know, that look up to him now because he's suffered and come back from a really dark place. So, you know, thanks to Tyson Fury. It's inspired me.
Big up the TF!
Anyway, the reason I phoned was 3 years ago, I was doing security work in London. I met this guy and he was from America.
Yeah.
And he was in with the Trumps and he was, his family are oil tycoons. And I got chatting to him, we'd become really good friends, and he had ADD. And we sort of related, and he told me all about the oil and the oil productions and everything. And so I started studying oil, and he was telling me about, you know, the stock market and the oils and everything to do with trading oil and everything. Anyway, I started studying oil and working out how much oil was extracted from the earth and gas every day, Googling, researching it, working out how much oil and gas is a year extracted from the earth.
Yes.
And it works out, you know, 80,000 barrels every day are extracted from the earth.
Do you know, I only worked out last week that they don't actually put it in barrels. I only worked that out last week. They don't actually put it in barrels. It's just a term of measurement, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so the 80,000 barrels, I mean, hang on, do they put it in barrels?
It depends who they're selling it to. I'm sure it goes in you know, the big container things, whatever you want to call them.
But it's a big container thing. Is that a barrel? No.
Oh, no, it isn't, is it? I can't, off the top of my head.
In my head, I imagined it as, you know, those old, like, wooden barrels that you'd get rum in? I thought it was like 80,000 of them. But then last week I thought, well, that's stupid. It's obviously just a term
of measurement. I think it's how much is in a barrel. It's worked out per barrel.
Right.
You know? So it's 80,622,000 barrels per day. That's 27,008,370 barrels per year. I'm
twisting my melon, man.
That's a lot. That's 40... Well, hang on, we're using up every day, I think it's 40 billion barrels a day.
So you're saying that we should be fracking to make up for the...
Yes, now, this could be, this is a new concept. I thought about this 3 years ago, and now I've started to come in are writing about it, because I'm researching, I'm saying, well, I've wrote about that, you know, three or four years ago, I've worked with that.
Yes.
It's you've got a sphere, and it's spinning, but it's flying through space.
Are you the fella that's been tweeting me?
Huh?
Are you the fella that's been tweeting me this?
Yeah, I've been trying to get it highlighted.
Well, why did you? I've blocked you because you just kept spamming me. I'm going to unblock you now, but stop spamming me.
I just wanted to. It's a new concept, and I really wanted the world.
I'm unblocking you, but stop spamming me.
And the Earth tilting. You know, the Earth is flying through space, our universe, at 7,500 miles an hour, and it's rotating around the sun and spinning at the same time. Now, you take a chunk of a few billion tons here and a few billion tons there, a few trillion tons all over the Earth, out of a sphere that's spinning, what's it going to do?
Well, it will carry on spinning.
Yeah, but if concept, if you take a chunk out, it's going to have a wobble, isn't it?
I'm having a wobble now, but not necessarily, because it's such a, yeah, it might do eventually. No, it won't. Because it's such a tiny little bit that you're sucking out of it.
You're talking trillions of trillions of tons. You're talking like cubic miles after they've finished extracting it all. You've got sort of like 35 miles worth of cubic miles under the Earth that is Earth displacement.
Which is tiny.
That's like the size of London. How's that tiny? The Earth weighs itself. I think it's something. Right, hang on, I've read it down here.
You can't weigh the Earth. No man can weigh the Earth.
Mass. And apparently, hang on, I've got it here.
What's being sucked out is tiny compared to comparatively.
I don't think you're talking trillions and trillions of tons over 100 years.
Yeah, but the Earth is massive, right?
Hmm. It's not as big as you think it is.
You don't know how big I think the Earth is.
Or how big you think it is.
I think it's massive.
It weighs.
You don't know what the Earth weighs.
If you Google it, it'll tell you.
Oh, Google it, is it?
In the mass. I've got it here. Hang on. Here we go. It's coming.
Stop laughing. People are laughing through there.
They tell you how much it weighs. It weighs 30 billion trillion tons.
All right, so that's heavy.
That's really heavy, yeah. Now you're taking trillions of that away in different sectors as it's spinning. So just to say you had a spinning ball in your office, no matter how big it is, you spin it, then you take
Yeah, okay, out. Okay, but the spinning ball in my office would change.
Don't think about the size, think about
No,
the
I'm thinking, I'm doing what you're not, I'm thinking. The spinning ball in the office.
Just say a spinning ball in the office, in your office.
Yeah.
And you take a lump out of it.
Yes, but you're not taking a lump out of it, you're sucking the inside out, that's different.
You're still taking the mass away and burning
from the inside. Right, because you're being deceptive by saying you're taking a lump out, because that's like you cut a massive chunk of it off. You're not doing that.
Concept. It's a concept.
Yeah, well, but you've got to be specific. You're not...
I did tweet you. There's another scientist.
No, I know, and I blocked you, because you're spamming me. I'm busy doing a radio show. I can't read tweets, and I never click on links anyway.
Oh, right. So I'm not... This is not just my concept. There's
Let me... Okay. So I've got a ball spinning in my office, right? And
right,
someone
yeah.
keeps sucking it, sucking bits out of it, right?
Right, yeah.
It will change its spin, right?
Correct.
Right, but it will do it quite quickly because it's small and it's spinning smallly and it's not confined by gravity in the same way that the planet is. The planet might change. It might do.
Yeah.
But it will take millions of years.
Well, they are saying as well now it could be contributing to the tilt of the Earth.
What do you mean the tilt of the Earth?
The Earth is tilted as it's spinning, right? The Earth is not straight. It's not. It's tilted as a spin. It's tilted.
Right. Now, yes.
Saying it could contribute to the tilt.
Where is the evidence that the tilt is changing?
I've got some information here.
Give me the information.
If you go on...
No, I'm not going on. You tell me.
Right, okay. This is by Paul...
How about when... You know what's popular at the moment, right? Do you know what the most popular plastic surgery is at the moment?
probably breasts.
Arse implants. They implant your bum with like all kinds of stuff, right? All kinds of stuff to make it bigger, right?
Right.
But you don't see women when they've had their bum implants done.
Yeah.
Wobbling off and unable to walk in a straight line. They can still walk in a straight line. So your science is shoddy.
No, it's just common sense that tells me if you take mass out of a spinning ball, it's gonna change
it. Put a mass into a buttock, you would expect, following your science, that woman would be falling off the curb. They can still walk in a straight line.
Yeah, but that's not spinning, is it? You're not spinning her around.
Not without her permission. Be inappropriate.
Well, I think, you know, it's up for debate. If there's other scientists that do, you know, have heard of this, you know, I'm just the guy that was interested in it, that put two and two together, and now I've come across scientists that are writing papers on it. Okay. So,
you know, are you worried about it?
But you know what? I think, you know...
Let it go.
I'm not letting it go.
Let it go. So what? Here's the thing. This planet is addicted to fossil fuels. It's addicted to fossil fuels.
Well, it runs out in 50 years, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then we're all screwed because the planet is addicted to it. So,
but what about the trillions and trillions of cavities left under the
fillings.
Earth? Fillings. What, trillions and trillions of tons of it?
All the bodies of the coronavirus victims. That's a joke. Listen, but if people aren't going to stop using fossil fuels, knowing that in 50 years we're going to run out of fossil fuels, then they're not going to stop it because of the Earth tilting, which it may or may not be doing.
It's just a concept, you know, and I just wanted to highlight it.
You've highlighted it.
Anybody else out there that either agrees or disagrees, that, you know,
you have started a conversazione. That's Italian for conversation, and I look forward to hearing people call in.
Love your show, my old mate. It puts a smile on your face, and enough respect for...
What's the name of my co-host? What's the name of my co-host?
Kath.
There we go. I always do that. Thank you, Lee, because the number of people that say, love the show, who's the woman I work with? What? Thank you, Lee, you passed. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Alistair. Good evening, Alistair.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, man.
I hope you're not feeling too lonely there on your own.
Hey, do you know what? It's nice to do it on my own from every once in a while. Actually, can I tell you what I'm feeling?
Go.
Can I share honestly with you?
Go.
Feeling joyless. I'm feeling joyless. Oh, I've got a headache. And I'm just feeling, feel joyless.
I feel a bit like that, honestly, today. Don't know what it is, really. Never been able to get going.
No, I've had a bit of a wasted day, and I've slept a lot. I'm doing my thing where I sleep a lot. And making myself, I'm quite good. I can make myself fall asleep, and it's a really handy trick. But it's not. I usually do it when I'm not feeling great. So it means I'm avoiding. Yeah. I'm avoiding. So I slept a lot today, and I look at this industry that I'm in, Alistair, and I'm choosing my words very carefully.
Mm.
Right? I look at this industry that I'm in, and me and Catherine are trying to make... Let me speak for me. Forget Catherine. I'll speak for myself, right? I'm trying to make something a little bit different and a bit positive and helpful and entertaining, right? And then I see other aspects of this industry, radio and TV and print, and I think, dear God, I'm part of this. And I'm being really vague, deliberately, and I don't think I've got blood on my hands, metaphorically speaking, but I do think I've got some blood spots on my shirt. Do you know what? Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, I would say that the fact that you're actually thinking on these lines means that you're different from most of them, aren't you?
I think so.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I really am. and you know, this is a dumb thing to say when my contract's up for renewal at the end of June. They won't tell me what's going on. I really wonder. Oh, no, I'll ask this, because this is a valid question, right? And this is not disrespectful to this place, and I think a lot of people think this. Is this it? Is this all there is? Is this it? Is this the best there is? This moment right now, is this it? Because if this is it, it's a bit shit, right? And I have to lower my expectations. I don't mean necessarily, you know, where this job and all that. I mean, this moment in my life. If this is it, okay, fair enough. Well, then I need to work on lowering my expectations. But the fact that I'm questioning, is this it, kind of says to me that maybe there's more.
Well, I mean, what I would say is that I've sort of had similar feelings about kind of, you know, my new life after alcohol, which is, you know, a much better one. And I'm sure in your case as well, without the, you know, the drugs and everything. So what I think is, I know that I'm going to have days that aren't so great, but I also know by experience that I have days where actually it's a really good day. Mostly those days are about meeting with other people and having a good laugh and talking about the world. Not necessarily to try and sort of do anything to put it right, but just to sort of sit back and say, well, look, you know, we're living in a very strange time, I think, at the moment, and all we can do is do our best, you know, every day.
Kayla, we will do our best.
But can I just say something about your last caller's theory?
Yeah, go on. Well, was I a bit harsh on him?
No, but actually, you're right, because he's forgotten a basic principle in physics is what's called the conservation of mass. So, basically, mass cannot be created or destroyed. It can be changed, but it still will not leave the Earth. Therefore, no, the mass...
Well, no, but hang on. If you're burning oil, that does leave the Earth.
It goes into gas, and then it forms... The gas is part of the Earth's mass as a whole, you see, I think that's how it works.
I don't know if the gas... I thought the gas would go, and then... Gas doesn't have mass. Does gas have mass?
But gas, the gas doesn't escape because of the gravity, you see. So it's still part of the Earth and the sort of air around.
Just plug it in my lappy, Alistair, because it's about to die.
Right.
Normally I would have an assistant who would... I would call Kath my assistant. I can't even do that as a joke anymore. She's not my assistant. She is... At worst, she's my equal. At worst, she's my equal. I'm looking forward to her shows on Friday. I don't know if I'm going to listen, not to be rude, but I might listen this Friday because I've got my boys, so hopefully they'll be asleep. But I need a break from... I'm listening to radio less.
Right.
Really listening to radio.
That's probably a good thing.
I think it is a good thing. The only people I listen to at the moment are a bit of James O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
The Archers.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit of... I'm listening to Jim Davis on BBC London this week because it's his last week. And that's it.
Okay.
And that's it. And I would listen to radio all the time. All the time. So, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Are you planning to sort of try and get a portion of the Friday to do... sort of certain things that you know you'll be able to relax at that time?
Masturbate. Fridays I plan to masturbate a lot. I've got so much catching up to do on that. There's so many hot people out there. So there's going to be a lot of that, Alistair, I think. That's the plan.
Yeah. I had your problem this morning.
Okay, Alistair, thank you. I think we know what problem that's referring to from the previous conversation about antidepressants. The plan on Fridays is, Fridays are tricky because normally I have to pick my kids up from school, and then if I have them that weekend, I'll probably take them home with me on a Friday. And if I don't, I will go home. I've got all these big plans if I want to do more streaming. I want to write that book that I'm never going to write and all of that stuff. But I'll probably just have an early night, isn't it? Probably just have an early night. Steve?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Steve.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm okay.
I'm good, good. Yeah, I think it was last week you and Catherine were talking about purchasing stuff.
Stuff versus things. I've stopped buying stuff like CDs and books and magazines and stuff, and now I'm just trying to buy things that would be useful to me.
Yeah, so last year I became aware, and I think you know these Raspberry Pi?
These little computer things that can be programmed to be retro computers or all kinds of stuff, yes.
Yes, exactly. So I only became aware of them last year, and I thought, oh, fantastic. So I've become obsessed with looking at YouTube videos, they're working or stuff like that, and I thought, I thought it would be brilliant if... do you remember an old Amiga game called Sensible Soccer?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a Raspberry Pi that's got that and everything on it. But, yeah, go on. So you wanted to put Sensible Soccer on there. I know the game.
Yeah, the tiny little players. So, back when I was young, I used to play it with my dad, and my mates used to come over. We used to have little tournaments on Sensible Soccer.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, it'd be brilliant if I get one of these, get it on there, and I can... And I've become obsessed with it, and I thought, oh, let's... you can get all the Atari games, and you can get the whole catalogue of Mega games, and blah, blah, blah. So in order to do that, I had to buy a 256 gig memory card, the Raspberry Pi, and I thought, well, obviously I've got to get two old school joysticks with the buttons and everything, and then, of course, I've got to get a keyboard. So buying all this stuff, it comes to about 200 quid in the end.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is going to be brilliant. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, you know, this is going to make my life better, getting all this, and I've done all this research and everything like that. Next time my dad came to stay with me, put it on, and what do you reckon happened?
He got bored after 3 minutes.
He didn't remember.
He was one of the ones that you played it with in the past.
Yes.
Oh, so it had meant something huge to you, but it didn't mean anything to him.
Yeah.
Stephen, how did you deal with that?
Well, I don't know. It was a little bit funny because I'd obsessed about this for about a month, put it on, and he's like, no, I don't remember this. I haven't touched it since, considering it.
I'd give you a game of Sensible Soccer. I like Sensible Soccer.
Yeah, the thing is, you say to yourself, I need all these Atari games, and you play them each for about 2 minutes, don't you?
Most of the Atari games are rubbish. That's the thing. Most of the Atari games are rubbish. I bought a Raspberry Pi, I bought an Odroid, which is like an upgrade, and it's got everything. It's got Dreamcast, it's got NES, SNES, it's got Mega Drive, Atari, all of that stuff. And it cost me like 250 quid, and it's got the controllers and everything. And I've played it like 3 times.
Yeah.
I keep thinking these things will be the thing that makes me happy.
Mm.
Is that the same with you?
Definitely with that. And I'm sort of having a weird... I don't remember. I rung in last year because I lost my mum towards the beginning of last year.
Okay, yeah.
I'm having, and some of my, in a really nerdy way, some of my best memories of childhood are playing video games. So I was really into video games.
That's fine. It's an important thing when you're growing up.
So I'm having this weird regression thing. I don't know. Maybe of that. I'm watching lots of stuff on YouTube about old video games, listening to podcasts.
How old are you, Steve? 42.
36.
I was going to say 38, and I thought, because you were talking about Sensible Soccer. I think it's quite common as you get closer to 40 for men to start looking back and think missing people. You know, I don't know if your parents are still with you, well, your mum obviously isn't, but, you know, missing your mum and thinking, what could I have done differently? What if this had happened? What if this girl had said that? What? Is this it? I think it's quite a common thing.
I think so. I don't want to say a weird place, because I've got an 18-month-old daughter, so that's all brilliant, and, you know, learning to be a dad and all that, so I'm forward-facing him with that. But, yeah, at the same time, yeah, I don't know, just of an evening, I just start thinking, do you remember all the old point-and-click adventure games?
Oh, I used to hate those. I was listening to a podcast about one. I used to find those so annoying.
They were my fave.
I was sat today, right, and I had to go to the doctors to get a repeat prescription, and that's all I had to do today. And then I came back, and I got this lovely house, and I'm sat there, just sat there, right. And I was just sat there, and I was bored, and I didn't want to play a record, I didn't want to play a video game, I didn't want to read a book, I didn't want to just sit there. I'm just thinking, what? What am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. So I went to bed, made myself fall asleep. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. None of this stuff around me is working for me. So I went to bed.
Mm.
There's no harm in looking back. I'm starting to wonder what I'm starting to wonder what the point in looking back is.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe there is a point. I don't know. I don't think I've found it yet.
Mm. I don't know. Well, at the moment, looking back, I think is working in terms of, you know, just, I think in terms of, yeah, just happy memories, happy thoughts, that sort of stuff.
Good. It's working for you, Steve. It's working.
But, you know, I definitely got what you meant with, you know, sometimes, you know, if the missus goes out for an evening, I think I've got all this stuff lined up on Netflix and all video games I haven't even touched yet and stuff like that. And, yeah, I sort of sit there and think,
sometimes the choice is overwhelming. There's too much choice.
Yeah. And then I have a weird thing of thinking, if I do one of these things, is that going to be a waste of 2 hours?
Yeah.
And then 2 hours goes past and you haven't done anything.
Yeah, which is a waste of 2 hours.
Yeah. So,
Steve, I think we are very similar. I'm going to move on. Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Evening, Dave.
Evening. I just read that tweet you retweeted from Pete Best about Stuart Sutcliffe.
Did Stuart Sutcliffe ever mime the bass, as we've been told that he did? Pete Best, drummer with the Beatles at the time. No. I'm wondering, here's the thing, right? I'm going to see a lot of concerts with a lot of old men soon. I think the next one is The Who, first week of April. That weekend, got the Bare Naked Ladies. They're not that old. Got Barry Manilow, thank you. Got Barry Manilow, got Pete Best. They're all going to be cancelled, aren't they? Aren't they?
I don't know. I mean, say I'm going out a lot at the moment.
You're a super carrier. Is that what they call it? You're patient zero.
But the thing is, I booked all this stuff up sort of about 4 months ago and I was feeling quite good. So. And I'm a bit like, there's a great guy who's in a any time you see a documentary about nuclear war, you see this Cockney guy in a market interviewed, and they say, what would you do in a 4-minute warning? And he goes, well, you've had it, ain't you? And they go, you've had it. What are you going to do? You've had it, ain't you? And I'm quite lucky in that, you know, I'm fairly, you know, in a safe category. I haven't got anybody around me that's going to, you know, be ill, touch wood, although if you play this, you know, about 3 weeks and I've carked it from, you know.
Flipping heck, Dave, this is turning into a cheery chat.
I'm just going out and doing stuff. I mean, My mate, Dr. J, who does the podcast, he said he's not coming over on Friday to Costello because he, you know, has the virus. Although he's a doctor, so the fact he has to, you know, maybe...
But I think soon it's going to be taken out of our hands.
Yeah.
Because in Italy, they've banned everything. They banned everything. You're not allowed to meet up with other people. I think it's like, is it 50 people or so? You're not allowed to meet up.
Well, I heard there's one shop where you can only shop in, let one person in at a time, and you couldn't be anywhere near anybody else.
Oh, that to me is my idea of absolute pleasure in heaven. They should have that rule anyway. Let's hope when all of this is blown away that we all keep our distance and don't talk or handshake ever again.
It's just, you know, obviously I work for the police now, and they've been giving us a load of sort of information, which obviously can't relate to you because I've signed something.
Dave's got classified information! Is this about, like, riots and stuff? And looting?
Well, I can sort of hint at...
You can't hint at it because you'll get in trouble. Send me a DM.
Well, they've given us no information.
Oh, okay, right.
I'm really disappointed. I was about to get in the secret sort of, and this is what's really happening. This is what the mayor doesn't want you to know.
I just think in a couple of weeks, I think the schools are going to close down. Again, this is just me saying it's a human being. And I think they're going to cancel concerts.
I don't know. You hear it from other sides. One sort of health expert says there's absolutely no point in cancelling large, you know, large things, because nothing's going to, you know, it's not going to make any difference. So they could do. They do it after, say, the 18th, you know.
Yes, okay.
early April would be fine. But I was just thinking what you were saying earlier about sort of trying to find a moment where, you know, is this it? Is this as good as it gets?
Yeah.
And... because about 6 months ago on the show, you were saying, you know, sort of, you're feeling really good and, you know, everything's growing great.
I've never said that. Why are you telling such wicked lies? I would never say such a thing.
I did that recently and I suddenly had the thing of, yeah, and now then it's all going to go, you know, it's going to turn to nothing.
Mm.
And so those are the moments where you do realise. So when you're in the middle of depression or whatever, you do see what's the point of anything if this is the best it is, and you get that no, it is better. There are times when it is
but
better.
But I've been all right. I was all right today. This morning I was a bit too high. I was a bit too buzzy, and I thought, well, last night when I got home and I went to bed, I was too buzzy. I thought, oh, well, there's a crash coming. There's going to be a crash. You can't sustain this altitude for much longer, young man. And I was correct.
Well, I've got this thing about, funnily enough, saw Aisling Bea last night. She was with the Michael Palin thing that Herring did, and Aisling Bea was the other guest afterwards. And she had a thing where she's on the, I think it's cast she was on, you know.
Right.
And she was talking about depression, and she said that to expect to be happy all the time is an absolute, you know, a balmy state of affairs, like that. And when you are depressed, you just try and make that day better.
Dave, we're getting to the wisdom, and your phone's breaking up. So this could be the most amazing. This could be the answer to the question, and all we're getting is Norman Collier.
I saw my Norman Collier impression didn't work. Is that any better?
That's better, thank you.
Yeah. She said that, you know, you've got to say about what's good about today that wasn't good about yesterday. And then when you get to the next day, you just got to build it up slowly, and you've got to accept that it's not going to always be high and always be low, because I was always going from extreme highs to extreme lows.
I tell you, this doesn't feel like depression, though. This feels like ennui. I think. Let me just Google ennui and make sure I've got the right definition of ennui. Hang on a second. Ennui.
When you play with those, yeah.
It's like not quite that. Right. A feeling of listlessness and dissatisfaction arising from a lack of occupation or excitement. It's not quite ennui. Let me try melancholy. Hang on. Melancholy. A feeling of pensive sadness. No, that's depression. Dissatisfaction.
dissatisfaction.
No, that's not the word. It's
disconnection.
It is. Because everything on the face of it is all right. Won an award. I don't know if you heard, Dave. Me and Catherine won a massive award last week.
Yes, and congratulations.
The only award winners on talk radio in the 4 years of its current incarnation.
Show, yeah.
Double award winners. The only people to win not just one, but two awards, right? Out of all of the presenters here. So that's a nice little validation, a nice little pat on the back. So everything, it just feels like. Oh, I almost had it. I almost had the word. This isn't it. This isn't it, Dave. I'm not meant to be doing this. I'm meant to be doing something else.
Hmm. But how long have you felt like, oh, no, I should pay you by the hour for this. I mean, is it the place?
It's I don't know what it is.
Because, you know, you seem to be quite buzzed about the idea of doing it from your house.
No, I didn't go for that. I'm cutting down to 4 days a week is the right thing to do. That's definitely the right thing to do, because I've got a little palpable sense of, oh, after tonight's show, I'm halfway through my week. That's good. That's good. I don't know. And I don't want to disappear too far up my ass.
It's trying to find that. I can sort of appreciate them not wanting to go out, not wanting to do stuff, wanting to sleep. I get a lot of that, but I sort of force myself out of the house, you know.
Well, now I'm arguing with people on a monkey's Facebook page.
Yeah.
About coronavirus.
I'm trying to think of a monkey's lyric that would, you know, be a good pun, but I can't think of one.
I thought you were stand up. What does entropy mean?
That means things sort of falling apart.
I thought you were a stand-up guy, but I see your entropy is high and vibration is low.
Entropy.
Jesus Christ.
Entropy is sort of things falling apart and disappearing, and, you know.
This is all because I said, this is the argument I'm having, right, with Monkees fans, right? Statistically, more people who catch the coronavirus are dying of the coronavirus than people who catch flu and die of flu. Flu has killed more people, but more people are dying percentage-wise of the coronavirus than get it.
Well, yeah, it's 0.5%, isn't it, for normal flu, and then it's 2.5%.
That's a fact! And these idiots on the Zilch, a Monkees podcast page, which is a great Monkees page, are going, let me read you one of these absolute bell cheeses.
Remember Mr. Bobolina?
Is it Mr. Bobolina? Mr. Dob Bobolina? Where's these absolute a-holes?
Sampled it today.
As pointed out earlier, it's far too early to rely on the data to come to the conclusion that I've posted that more people... That's boring! This is what my life is! This is what my life is arguing with people who are absolute idiots. And then say my entropy is high and my vibration is low. I don't even know what that means, Dave, and I'm offended by it.
Well, they don't need to know what the word entropy means. It doesn't mean whatever they... Your entropy is high... Don't get that.
I hate the internet. Dave, listen, I'm going to move on. Thank you very much indeed. 03-444-499-1000. Pat and Clive, is your entropy high and your vibration low?
Oh, are you being vulgar?
No, I'm not being vulgar. I don't even know what it means. Someone's accused me of having a high entropy and a low vibration.
Can you send me a picture of your high... What's it called?
Are you in the same country as your phone?
Can you not hear me?
Pardon?
Can you hear me?
Huh?
Oh, Ian, don't mess about, please.
Come closer to the phone.
Is that better?
Yes, young lady. Now, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm very well, madam.
Thank you.
I didn't ask.
Listen, Ian.
Yes?
I've been a while, but I've been accepted for an audition at Britain's Got Talent.
That is such good news.
It's taken 5 years. I've come up with a cracker of a sob story, and I'm allowed to, on April the, I think the 3rd,
yes.
I'm allowed to audition as a plate spinner.
A what spinner?
A plate spinner.
Okay. Because no, before, weren't you dancing with your mum or something?
No, I was I was farting to the Antiques Roadshow.
That was it, and they didn't go for that.
No, and I had a terrible sob story, and that didn't work.
Well, I bet you had a sob story afterwards if you followed through. So,
so I've got the plates, and I was wondering if you'd let me do it. Like, tell me what you think.
I'd love to. What music will you be playing in the background?
Well, I think it's Gay Ballet.
Gay what?
Gay Ballet.
Gay Ballet.
Right, you ready?
I think that's homophobic now.
They're royal plates and they're Clives, and we've got to be quick because he's going to be back soon.
Okie dokie.
Right, are you ready?
Yeah, very.
Right, hey. Right. Okay, that's one, Ian. Oh, that's the Princess Fergie and Andrew one gone. Here it goes. Here's the Princess Margaret plate. Oh. Okay, come on. That's it. Got the Queen Mother's plate. It's going up. I've got two left. Okay, here's the Lord Mountbatten plate.
Well, I went the same way as Lord Mountbatten himself, so...
I know, it's in bits.
Isn't it such a shame?
It's the last one, Ian. It's the last one.
Thank God.
It's the Prince Philip one. Oh, it's staying. It's a bit wobbly. It's staying.
It didn't stay.
Oh.
That's disappointing. What happened? Are all the plates smashed?
Hang on. Clive, we've been burgled.
Burgled? What's happened? Are you on the police? Police.
Hello.
Is that the police?
Yes.
Hello, it's Clive.
It's the police.
All right, we've been burgled.
I'm sorry to hear that.
The strange thing is, they've left my iPad.
Yes.
My wallet, yep. And all they've done is smash my beloved royal collection of plates.
I'm so sorry to hear. This isn't actually the police. This is Ian Lee. You're on Talk Radio now. Who's this? Is this Clive?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just. Pat was just doing a plate spinning demonstration, and I think it went wrong.
Pat, plate spinning. Do you know why he's using my plate, Ian? Because he hasn't washed up for a week.
Jesus.
He's been experimenting with macaroni, and he's made a right mess.
Oh, that would do it. You shouldn't really experiment with macaroni. It's pretty perfect as it is.
Well, you wouldn't believe the type. You know, macaroni cheese.
Yeah.
Macaroni.
Beef,
saveloy.
Macaroni, saveloy. Have you got any other plates that you could use? It was a very exciting act, if I'm honest.
That's it now, is it? I'm absolutely boiling with rage. Can you hear in the voice?
I can hear it. Try and let it go. We don't want any violence. You could do a GoFundMe for plates. Are you on Twitter?
The police. It's not the police, is it? T and Bloody Lee.
All right.
My favourite DJ.
Okay.
Long time listener, about four times past.
Okay.
He said you've been spinning plates on my royal family plate.
All right.
The ones we granted me.
Guys, we're gonna have to move on and let you go, I'm afraid.
Thank you. I'm just going to... I'm going to get you in a minute.
Don't resort to murder.
Murder?
No, don't murder. Jesus, don't resort to murder. I suppose we should probably get out of there as soon as possible. Aileen, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. 03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. I think we're trotting along at quite a pace this evening, aren't we? Oh, I'll tell you in a bit about how proud I was to pay my TV licence the other day. As everyone seems to be slagging off the BBC, I feel I ought to say I paid it the other day and I'm really proud of it. Just to counterbalance the rest of the output of this station. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Across the UK. Late Night with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
brothers, sisters, everybody, we better start to help each other now. We need it now. When we're sharing our love, brother, that's when you know we can shape another world.
Three, four, 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 nine, nine, 1,000. That's the hip happening sound of the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys. I say do more drugs. If it makes you do music like that, do more drugs. 0344, shut up. 499-1000. Aileen?
Hiya.
How you doing? Are you all right?
I've just rung you off because your blasphemy against the Lord's name is atrocious. And I just wanted to discuss that with you.
My what?
Pardon?
My what?
Your blasphemy against the name of the Lord Jesus.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, again, he's a great man. He died for us.
That's your belief, and that's great, and I would certainly never knock your belief, and I respect... Aileen? Aileen?
Ian, could you just repeat...
Whoa. Aileen. Dump that. I'm going to let you back on, because I'm a great guy. But why the hell are you throwing around the N-word? You've called up to talk about Jesus. Why the hell are you throwing... You've just said the phrase, why don't you call a spade, and then you've thrown around the N-word. Your fade is off, right? I'm going to let you back on, but you cannot use language like that. You phoned up to criticise me. I was about to say, I am very respectful of your religious beliefs. I don't buy into it, but I respect your right to believe in, obviously, a Christian God for you. I respect a Muslim's right to believe in their God, all of that. But I would hope you would also respect my right to question those beliefs. I would also hope a Christian wouldn't phone up for your call. Goodbye. Goodbye, you silly old racist. You silly old racist. I'm going to assume you've got a mental illness, one of the bad ones that means you're not in control of the words you say. Because if you haven't got a mental illness, one of the ones that stops you controlling the words you say, then you're just a racist arsehole. One of the two. And I'm a nice guy, be kinder. Okay, so I'll lower my voice. I'm a nice guy. So I'm going to assume you're not very well. Because to phone up and say the N-word twice whilst pretending, professing to be a Christian, you ain't no Christian, bruv. And also, you were saying that people of colour are lesser people, are bad people. Wow. Wow. And you wonder why people mock your God. I don't, actually. I don't. I do believe in a higher power, but not yours. Certainly respect. No, I don't respect you in any way whatsoever. You're a disgusting, horrible, racist woman. How dare you? Here's a suggestion for you, Aileen. Switch off the radio. You're banned from listening to my show ever again. And you're certainly not allowed to phone up. You ain't no Christian, bruv. Floyd.
Hello.
Hello, Floyd. Can I just check? You're not going to throw the N-word around, are you?
You must be joking me, mate. If anyone does that, I'll knock them out.
Well, all right. We're going to go that far. But it's a very, very, very peculiar call from Aileen, who's calling in again. Wow. Anyway, Floyd, what can we do for you?
No, do you know what? I just want to ring up because we've got a lot of stuff going on about the virus, but I'm going to give you a slightly different angle to it because... what I'm really worried about is that I actually do a lot of work in Italy. And what I don't want people to do is punish the Italian people and punish the Italian economy by not visiting. And I know that's not in this exact circumstances. Of course, don't visit them right now. But I mean, when you come to summer, when it's safer to visit, really do think about Italy and the people there and go and visit a wonderful, wonderful country.
Yeah, It was too hot when I went last year with my boy. We went to Rome. It was too hot, but it was lovely. But I have heard stories of people. Well, I've seen texts to this, tweets to this radio station being racist towards the Chinese. And I've also, no, don't shock me. It doesn't shock me, unfortunately. And I've also heard stories of people being racist, British people being racist towards Italians because of the coronavirus.
You will see that. It's not only that. I mean, you stand on the racism topic. I think we need to, from the UK's point of view, we need to identify the facts that we are subtly racist. And
hang on, Floyd, let me stop you there. We're not subtly racist. Yeah. We're overtly racist as a country. This place is terrible. There's so much racism here.
Well, the problem is it's disguised by a layer, and this is, I don't want to be going into this side of things, but with the greatest respect, there's a subtleness to Italian culture. So what a lot of people would say, certainly English teachers and social commentators, they would probably say that a lot of English people will be very indirect with what they say. So they'll be insulting you, they might even be racist to you, but they'll do it in such a polite way that you can't necessarily take offence by it. And that's certainly what I've noticed certain British communities, I do see that, but I don't really want to go into that because I think it's an appalling topic. It's absolutely appalling. The fact that we're sitting here now in 2020 talking about racial abuse
had a woman phoning up pretending to be a Christian, banging the N-word around and saying that black people are evil. I mean, jeez, my God, what have we allowed to thrive here? Oh, my God. Floyd, go on.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, but the interesting thing is, going along that lines, where the Bible's set, I mean, he's not exactly going to be Caucasian white, is he? I don't know if you've been to Israel or anywhere in the Middle East, but with the greatest respect, you're naturally not going to be Caucasian white.
Jesus, who we know is a white, is a tall, skinny white guy with long hair. We all know that. We've all seen the picture. We've all seen the photo.
Oh, no, blue eyes as well. Yeah, you've got to remember blue eyes.
He's got blue eyes, yeah. Here's the thing. I think, I think everything's going to change for the, I don't know how long this is going to go on for, 6 months, 9 months, I don't know. But, Italy's great. It's good food, nice people. When I took my boys there, they treated my boys like kings, and it was wonderful, wonderful place. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to be shut down soon in the next couple of weeks.
Well, the interesting thing is, I mean, the horror zone back in the UK, same with a lot of people, is that the schools are closed right now. The schools are closed, and actually the Italian Prime Minister took the extreme precautions, and obviously you've seen that not only Milan has gone into lockdown, the whole of Italy has gone into lockdown. But the interesting thing is that Boris Johnson hasn't taken that step, and it's going to be very interesting to see if the UK's rate suddenly goes a lot higher, which, to be honest with you, it's increasing by 17%, daily from Monday to Tuesday. You're going to have to question, was that a great decision by the Prime Minister?
It's money. If we close the schools down, everyone has to take time off work. Everyone has to take time off work, then businesses close down. Blah, 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 blah. It's money. It's all money. They're doing a balancing act between money and lives.
The problem is they are doing a balancing act, but the interesting thing is with Italy is they are taking a direct economic hit, which is one of the reasons I rang up, is because the Italian government the Italian people will be taking a huge economic hit. They are not the richest country in the world anyway, and now with this an additional factor, as I said to you, I don't want the English people or anyone listening to this radio show to punish Italians, essentially an Italian business and Italian culture, because they're almost lepers. They're not at all. They're wonderful people, and they're making...
I don't think anyone's saying that they're lepers, though, are they? I mean, it's just Italy's closed.
Ironically, you say that, but at the same time, you said that you've had people being overtly racist to Chinese people and overtly racist to Italians because of the coronavirus. So actually, you're kind of contradicting yourself because people are doing that. Essentially, you were saying that you had people saying that at one point in the interview, you were saying that people were being racist to Italians and to Chinese.
Yes.
And now you're saying that, not to be argumentative at all, but just to say that, in my opinion, that could be a risk of happening, that people go, I won't go to Italy.
That's literally not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, listen, I don't contradict myself. Words are my tools. I'm very careful with my words. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm literally listening, genuinely listening. No prejudice from my point of view.
Yeah. So what I said was that there have been examples of racism towards Italian people. And you're saying we shouldn't treat Italian people like lepers, and I'm agreeing, but I'm also saying Italy's closed. So how is that a contradiction?
Because you... good point.
Yeah, because it isn't. That's why it's a good point, because it isn't.
No, it's a very good point. I think in terms of... you're saying Italy's closed. Absolutely. But my sort of main quote is I don't want people to... If you're saying... it's a relevant point. Agreed that Italy is closed now, but if you're saying that you are getting people being racist, you know, being prejudicial against Italians now, my argument is if that is allowed to flourish and that continues, it's not fair on the Italian people who are making a great social sacrifice to contain this virus, which they really are.
But they don't have a choice.
Ooh, interesting. They do.
I'm arguing with a knob. No, they don't. The government are the police are out. If they get caught out, they get arrested.
Now I am gonna. Not to point to.
Am I arguing? Are you a cartoon character or are you a real physical human being?
Oh no, Jim is sitting here now. Let me explain. In terms of do they have a choice, they have a massive choice of their actions. And let me just explain to you about this. I'm on the multitude of...
So when did you come back from Italy?
Excuse me? Did I come back from Italy?
Yeah.
Over 2 weeks ago.
Are you self-isolating?
I'm sitting in my car right now on my own, yeah.
That's not what that means. Tell you what, let's put the smart answers to one side and actually answer a question. No, are you self-isolating?
Hang on a second. I promise you, I'll answer your next question.
No. You'll answer that question. Are you self-isolating?
Am I self-isolating? Yeah, I'm doing multiple things, yes.
But you're in your car, so where are you going? Where are you coming from?
No, can I... No, I'm going to stop you there because...
No, you're not. It's not how it works. My show, rules. You came over here from Italy, so you're at risk. So I'm assuming you're self-isolating.
Initially, because your government's advice... be very careful with this, because you're going to need to let me come back to the original answer I was going to come to, and I will answer this question, because it's very important. So... The initial advice from the UK government...
Are you self-isolating? Floyd, don't me. I do the as. It's my show. It's really... Are you self-isolating?
And I will answer it.
Well, answer it then. Answer it now. Are you self-isolating?
Am I self-isolating? Let me answer...
Floyd, no. Answer the question, mate. Are you... self-isolating?
I am in my car now, and I've taken advice of the UK government.
No, Floyd, please stop Floyd, just please stop doing the clever answers, right? Are you staying in your car for 14 days?
The actual advice...
Are you staying in your car for 14 days? Floyd, listen, mate, I'm going to give you one more chance, because actually you're making me uncomfortable. You can answer the question, or you can F off.
I'm out.
Bye then.
Like me, mate. I'm out.
Bye, Floyd. Bye-bye. Yeah, he comes on. His first thing is he threatens to beat up a woman, and then I don't believe a word of that guy. I don't believe a word of that guy. That guy's never been to Italy in his life. What an absolute bellend. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Suddenly this feels like a proper late night phoning show from the 90s, doesn't it? It's got that vibe now. Now we're warming up. I don't believe a word of that guy. Do not believe a word of that guy. Aileen's still calling in. You remember the Christian that said that people of colour were evil and threw the N-word around twice? Put the phone down. Let's go. Matt!
Wagwan.
Wagwan, Matt.
It's getting heavy, isn't it?
It's getting kind of heavy.
It's getting kind of heavy. Yeah. Let's move on from that.
I'm not going to talk about coronavirus because that's...
Well, what do you want to talk about then?
I want to ask your advice.
I'm the best person for advice.
I very nearly went to my first AA meeting.
Oh.
And bottled it at the last minute.
Yeah.
I managed to knock the booze on the head for about 10 months last year, but I've been self-medicating
drinking,
with it quite heavily.
Drinking ever since. Drinking the booze. Yeah, knocking back the booze. Knocking back the booze, baby. I can stop any time I want, baby.
Well, this is the thing, you know, because I mean, I'm not drinking tonight, and I didn't drink last night, but when I do have open a bottle of wine, I have to finish it. You know, there's no way I can leave an open bottle of wine, and sometimes I'll go and get another one. So I was going to go along tonight, but I've just got this kind of this fear that it's coming from a point of lack of education about it, a lack of knowledge. But just from hearing something a little while ago about how it's kind of all wrapped up in having to believe in God, and there's a religious aspect to it, and that really puts me off.
Spiritual, not religious.
Is it? Okay.
Spiritual, not religious. You will see, I'm going to warn you now, you will see the word God written down. You will hear some people say the word God. My suggestion to you is ignore that for now.
Right.
Ignore it. It's not cult. It's not religious. They spell God with a capital G. Personally, I think they should spell it with a small g.
Yeah.
I have a God in my life as a direct result of the 12 steps. I choose not to call it God so often. I tend to call it my higher power. And for me, my higher power is like when I get home and I can see the moon and the stars in the sky. It's like my cat sitting on me. It's my boys laughing. It's the breeze through trees. That for me is God. That's it.
Right.
It's not some old dude with a big white beard. It's none of that. There's nothing biblical or Jesus based or Abrahamic or whatever. It's none of that. For me, it's just like stars and energy and vibrations and nature and all of that stuff.
But did you have a kind of I don't know what the word is, belief or not, but was there a sense, you know, that you had before?
Nope.
You went through that?
No, I was doing everything by my will. I thought I was in control of everything. And when I thought I was in control of everything, I couldn't stop shoving cocaine up my nose. Then when I surrendered and realised, when I decided to consider that there might be something a little bit bigger out there, I was able to stop drinking and taking drugs. That's it. And the advice my mate Dave gave me, who I've not seen for years, and we just got in touch with each other again last week. I said to Dave, I can't get over this God thing, man. And he said, what I'm saying to you now, Matt, ignore it. Ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, the worry I have is that, you know, I suppose the thing that made me kind of turn around and walk away, because I was literally about, you know, I don't know, 20 yards away from the door of the place tonight, and I just thought, no, I can't do this, was, you know, I don't want to be a part of something that I can see could be good for me, but that doesn't work, or that I won't allow to work because I feel like a second-class citizen.
It only works if you work it.
Yeah, but then... I suppose the worry I have is if I'm not one of the happy clappers, and I know that's demeaning and derogatory, and I don't mean it to be, but if I've been Matt, let me stop you there. Yeah.
Carry on drinking then.
Well, that's the thing.
That's it. Carry on drinking then. The only time we clap in a meeting is when someone goes up to get a key ring to celebrate a certain amount of clean time or sobriety.
Right.
That's it. It's the only time we clap. To say, well done, 6 months. Yes, mate, get some of that. Listen, all I can tell you is I was a hopeless drunk and a cocaine addict and an ecstasy addict. I used to take 10 ecstasy tablets a night. Imagine! A night!
I used to drink all
of this stuff. It was the only thing that stopped. I tried therapy, I tried counselling, I tried psychiatry, I tried meditation, I tried sport, I tried sex, I tried video games, I tried travel, I tried relationships, I tried food, I tried work. The only thing that stopped me was going to meetings. That's it. And you have heard me, you know, talking about, you've heard me arguing with a Christian just then. I don't sound like a happy clapper.
No, God, no. I mean, I know you don't believe in the biblical sense of things, and
I guess, you know, I guess I should have used that to answer my own question before I stupidly asked it.
I am open to the possibility. This is it. I am simply open to the possibility that there is a power greater than myself in the universe. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. But here's the thing, and I choose to call it my higher power, but that's my choice. Here's the thing. You don't have to do that straight away. All you got to do straight away is go in and listen. Listen for the similarities, not the differences.
Yeah.
You're there for identification.
Yeah.
Or you carry on drinking and see how that goes. How's it going so far?
I hate myself.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. But for the person that I become, I mean, I'm not a violent drunk. I mean, I'm a solitary drinker. I drink at home on my own. When I open a bottle of wine, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I will drink that bottle of wine and probably get onto another one. And I know that there are people out there who, you know, who drink a lot more than that and blah, 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 but it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't help me.
It's not the amount. It's not the amount. And maybe me saying how many pills I used to take isn't helpful, because it's not the amount.
Well, no, I know.
It's what it does to you. And it's the feeling of shame and self-loathing that we get.
Yeah.
And you don't need to live with that anymore. There is an alternative.
Okay. I seem to be braver about it. I guess I just don't want to be... I guess it's a fear of rejection, I guess, you know, kind of... which I know probably...
They won't reject you.
That's not how it works, is it?
When you walk into that room, whatever they're saying, the most important person in each meeting is the newcomer. When you walk into that room and say to someone, oh, this is a bit embarrassing, this is the first time I've done one of these, you are the most important person in that room. Because everybody, people who are clean, people who are sober for 30 years, people who are sober for 30 minutes, will all be looking to you as a reminder of how rubbish it is drinking.
Right, okay, yeah.
You help them stay clean. You're helping me stay clean now by reminding me what it's like. So thank you.
Okay. Not intentional, but...
No, I know, and it's not. And it's helping, this is so much of it is unintentional. It just happens. Yeah. You're helping me stay clean today. Thank you, Matt. Genuinely.
Good. I'm being helpful to someone.
Go and save your life. Go and save your life. Go and ask... Go in and sit in. And see.
Okay, I'll give you a go.
See what happens.
Well, thanks for that. That's helped. Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
You deserve it, mate. Thank you, Matt. Let's go to Wayne. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Ian. How the devil are you?
Oh, all right. Some callers were getting. He's right. I'm dumping that. Flipping heck, Wayne. Flipping heck. I dumped what you just said because you're phoning up to have a go at the woman that said the M word, but then you can't use that word to describe the. The woman who said the M word. We don't say the B word anymore. That word is gone. So please, everybody, just cool out. Just cool out.
I hung up on my hedgehog watch. And I was
Are you listening? Have you listened to anything? I just said then, Wayne. You can't call someone a B1TCH.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we start again, then?
Let's start again, Wayne. Wayne's on the line. Good evening, Wayne.
Good evening, Ian, and good evening, Kathy. If you listen, I'm addicted to painkillers, yeah? So, I had to go to Adaction, and I thought, God, can I do this? Because when I walk in that room, there'll be druggies, people shooting up and that, and I thought, no, I can't do it. Well, I did.
Well done, you.
Yes, and then people who I felt very badly of, they helped me so much. They did better for me than the therapist.
And how are you doing now?
I'm struggling. I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
I've gone from 15 a day down to... 5.
That's progress.
So,
that's progress. That's a start.
It is progress, yeah. But the point being about people get the assumption that they can say God whatever they want, but at the end of the day, it's fear of the unknown, and mine was. And I just thought I was better than anybody else. And I'm not, because at the end of the day, I'm an addict. And we all come in different shapes and forms.
one of my closest friends in recovery. Used to mug old women.
Okay.
Used to actually mug old women.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, indeed. And I said to him, he's a really good friend of mine. He saved my life. And I said to him, how do you live with that? And he said, that's the one thing I cannot, I'm trying to make amends for it, but I'm aware of what I did was so low, was so atrocious, that I can never quite get over the shame of that. Now, what I'm saying that for is, I've done things, I haven't done anything like that, but I've done worse things than him in other aspects of my life, and he's done worse things. Everybody is in those rooms. Everybody's, and you wouldn't know, he doesn't look the sort. He doesn't look the sort. He looks like a very respectable gentleman, but he's got that in his past. And that's awful that he's done that, and I'm not in any way justifying that, but he reached a rock bottom and realised that his life was not what he wanted, and he is doing everything he can to make amends for those actions. Everybody's done, the people that have done worse stuff than us and people that haven't done as worse as us, and it's all people just trying to get on the right train, Wayne, and head to the train station. That's it.
Indeed. And unfortunately, I mean, if you're an addict, you will do things to get where you want to be. Yep. I mean, mine's half for the buzz and the other half is for the pain. Mm. And I have even gone to my mum's and took her painkillers. So we all do silly things.
Yep. Yeah. I nick money off my mum. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I'm ashamed to admit that. I got clean. I paid it back.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. Wait, I'm going to let you go because I'm getting a little bit itchy. We're talking it's a little bit triggering, this conversation about drugs. So we're going to move on. Last 30 minutes of the show, we're going to take calls straight to air. Sit back, relax. You don't have to answer any more phone calls, Elif. This is on me. This one's on me. We'll have a little break. We can hear from one of our colleagues. And then, is it a full moon tonight? It's got a full moon kind of vibe. It's got a full moon vibe. Let's take a couple of calls straight to air, then we'll have a break. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hiya. I did ring earlier on, but I just wanted to ring to tell...
Me? Ian, the guy who... You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. That's why I'm talking to you. Right. You're talking to me.
Right. The lad who rang a couple of calls ago and he went to AA and never got in there.
Yeah.
I just want to tell him it's the best thing I've ever done. And we just have to believe that something higher than us can get us well.
Yeah, but also, I've got to say, because what is that? Step two or step three? Step two, I think. You get there, the steps are in an order for a reason. Step one is just going, yeah, I've got a problem. That's it. So he'll get to that bit when he's ready. But life is so much. Life is so much better, clean and sober, isn't it, Joanne?
It's amazing.
It really is. Okay. All right. We'll start again after this.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Okay. Let's try again. Call straight to air. 7 second delay. Don't swear. Don't be libelous. Please don't throw around the N word. Is it weird? I've been doing straight-to-air calls for, I don't know, 16, 17 years, and it's only in the last 12 months I've had to say, oh, yeah, and don't be racist. Isn't that nuts? Always said, don't swear, don't be libelous, and I've added, don't be racist. That's where we're at. Disappointing. Line 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Line 3, you're on the wireless.
Ahoy there, Ian.
Ahoy. Yes.
I think I might have a word for you that you were looking for earlier.
Was it retirement?
No. Could it possibly be disillusionment?
Let me Google disillusionment, because it feels disillusionment. A feeling of disappointment resulting from the discovery that something is not as good as one believed it to be. It's close, but it's not quite right.
Oh.
No, don't sound so disappointed. Don't sound disappointed. Don't cry. I can pretend it's the right word if you want.
You know when you go to see The Who?
If it still goes on, yeah.
If it still goes on.
Yeah.
My granddaughter's violin teacher is playing viola with them.
Yes, that's what I want.
Yes.
That's what I want.
She's called Antonia. I can't remember what her
I'm
going to
shout
is.
Out quite the quiet violin solo. I'm going to shout out Antonia and blow her mind. How about that?
Yeah, well, she's teaching my 9-year-old granddaughter to play violin, and she's going to teach her to do her grades.
Rock and roll, baby! Thank you very much, June. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello, yeah, Ian. We have spoken before in the past, and you said something to me that was what basically helped me through the night. I'm having a hard time at the moment.
What's going on?
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I really don't know what I'm doing. I've taken tablets and
When you say you've taken tablets, when have you taken tablets?
All day.
Mark, come on now. What tablets you taking, man?
Sapane.
Okay, I don't know what that means. What do they do? Here's what we're going to do. Mark, do you trust me?
Yeah, I spoke to you before.
I know you did. I remember it. You trust me, right? Listen, we've got...
You said you loved me and...
Mark, I do love you.
That helped me.
Mark, I'm going to speak to you very directly. Okay? Because you've called me because you want me to do something. I can do something now, right?
You can't help me, but it's just I've got no one else to talk to.
Mark, listen, I will talk to you, but I need something first, okay? How many tablets have you taken?
I've taken 16
okay.
now.
Mark, I'm happy to talk to you right up until 1 o'clock, right? But I need one thing from you first. You've got to pay a toll. Are you prepared to pay the toll?
Yeah.
You do anything for me to talk to me for the next 20 minutes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah?
All I want you to do is I want you to tell my producer your address... so that she can send an ambulance round. It's all you got to do for me.
That's going to upset my wife. That'll upset my wife.
Won't it, though? But can I tell you what would upset your wife more? Is if she found you dead in the morning. Wouldn't it? So, Mark, I'm going to pass you back to Elif... Do you think you can do this for me, mate?
No, I can't do that.
Why can't you do that?
We've had a row today.
Right.
Anyway.
Where is your wife? Where is your wife?
Just push her over the edge.
Where is your wife?
She's upstairs in bed. I'm out in my workshop.
Mark, here's the problem, right? Here's the problem that we got. We got a little problem going on here. I have to, as a human being, forget the job and all of that nonsense, but as a human being, I can't let you die tonight.
Oh, it's...
Can I?
It's not going to happen.
Well, we don't know it's not going to happen, do we? Because you've taken a load of pills. I know, we got ourselves in a little pickle, but it's a pickle that can be sorted out quite easily.
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Well, would you trust me? Because I know what to do. I know exactly what to do now. Will you trust me?
No, I really don't know what to do.
Mark, listen, Mark, you need to listen to me, because I know what to do right now. I know what to do. I can take the responsibility out of your hands. You haven't got to worry about anything for the next 20 minutes. But I really need you to give Elif, who is lovely, and I promise she won't come round.
I just wanted somebody to talk to.
You've got me to talk to, and I'm going to talk to you. But I need you to give Elif your address. Trust me, your wife finds you dead tomorrow, she's going to be more upset. We got two options. You've got to pick one of these options, all right? You give Elif your address and she calls an ambulance, or you go and put your wife on the phone to me now. One of those two things. You choose. Which one do you reckon?
I can't put her through this. She's gone through enough with me. And
Mark, you're going to die, mate. There is a strong chance you might die tonight.
My mental health and everything else.
Mark?
She's had enough of it anyway.
So you think being dead will be best for her? Is that what you think?
No, she has a go at me. She said,
Mark, I need you. Mark, we haven't got much time. Mark,
my anxiety and
Mark,
else. So
Mark,
put this on her as well.
So Mark, can you hear me, Mark?
Yes.
I need. I'm going to be really direct. I've got to be really direct, okay? So you've got to focus and answer my questions, all right? It might sound like I'm being a bit rude, but it's just me being direct because I have to, because we're running out of time.
I've listened to you.
Then be quiet.
Years,
be quiet, Mark. Exactly Mark, shut up. Listen. Do you think your wife would be happier if you were dead?
Yes, I do.
Is that why you took the pills?
Yeah.
So you took the pills to die?
She'd be better off without me.
Okay. She might be better off without you. She wouldn't be better off if you were dead. That's two different things. My wife was better off without me. She would not be better off if I were dead. Two different things. So, we have to stop you dying because I will not allow you to die. Because when you called in before, I told you that I loved you. And that still stands true today. I've got 10 minutes of this show left. No one's died on my show yet. It's not happening now. I need you to give Elif your address. And if you don't do that, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to phone 999 and I'm going to have to give them your phone number.
Okay.
Will you give Elif your address?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Brilliant. Mark, you're going to speak to Elif. She's going to take your address. Then Elif, you're going to call 999. We're going to get an ambulance there. And I'm going to speak to Mark for a little bit longer.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
You all right, Mark? You're giving the address to Elif, so you can just... It's out of your hands now, buddy. Relax, all right? She's calling an ambulance. She's brilliant, Elif. I'm so lucky. Catherine is my usual producer, and then when she's not in, I get a brilliant replacement as well. So it's all good. You've done a really good thing, Mark. Thank you, mate. Thank you. Because I can tell you this for a fact, the world will not be a better place if you're dead. It will be ever such a slightly darker place. I promise you that. Because you're a good man. And I don't want you to die. As hard as it might be for you to believe it, your missus doesn't want you to die. Might not be going great between you two, I don't know. None of my business. She won't want you dead, Mark. Now, are you somewhere where you can hear the front door go if it goes?
No, I'm not. I'm in my workshop out the back.
Get into the house, mate. Because Elif's just on the phone to him now. Get into the house.
Too much.
It's too much, isn't it? I know, it's too much. You haven't got to worry about anything. It's being taken out of your hands, and other people are taking control now, and that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. It's all right to surrender sometimes. It just gets a bit too much, doesn't it? Can you get into the house for me, mate, just so you can hear the doorbell?
Everything's just too much.
It's too much, mate. I know. I totally get it. I totally get it, brother. You haven't got to worry about anything for the next few hours, all right? Because other people are taking control.
I had a thought you've been in business last year.
Did that all go tits up?
It's all, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. It happens.
It's ticking over, but no.
Not doing as well as it was.
Oh, God.
You're being very brave, mate, and that sounds... I know it... Well, it sounds patronising when someone says, oh, you're being very brave. You're being very brave. You've admitted that you're not coping at the moment, and you've put a hand out, and that's what I'm here for. Because I know that when I'm not coping... I can put my hand out and someone else will take it. That's what we do as humans. It's what we do. Now, have you taken enough pills to kill yourself? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But it really is the best thing to get this checked out, okay? And who knows, the ambulance, they might put you in touch with a doctor that might be able to help you speak to someone. You're a good man, Mark, and things are not going your way at the moment, but it won't always be like that. It won't always be like that, my friend. How old are you, Mark? Just the ambulance are asking.
I'm 48.
Ooh, I was gonna say 46. 48 years old. You've got a very young voice. Got a young voice.
Yeah, 1971, I was born.
What a year. What a year. Do you know, I'm working with people, not tonight, by a long way, but in this industry, I work with people that were born in the 21st century. That's nuts, right? That is nuts. That's the world we live in. We work with kids and babies. Are you in the house now, so you can hear the doorbell?
I'm in the house.
Beautiful. Yeah. What I need to do, because I came in tonight, I made the studio all nice and dark, so I'm going to put the studio back to the way it was before. That's a bit bright, that light. What have I done there? Which one's that? That's that. Well, and what's going to happen? Because this show's going to end in a few minutes, Mark, but...
That's okay.
That's okay, I know. But what I'm going to do is if the ambulance go on.
Yeah, I love listening to you guys.
Sometimes it's all right. Sometimes it works. Hit and miss. If the ambulance hasn't come by the time the show finishes, what we're going to do is we're going to hang up for a second, but then I'm going to phone you on my phone, on my mobile, okay? Just because I want to make sure that there's someone on the phone to you. What have you taken, Mark, the ambulance are asking?
I've taken... it's called Zapane.
Zapane?
Zapane, yeah.
And what does Zapane do? What is that? Sleeping tablet? What is that?
They're painkillers.
Painkillers. Zapane.
Yeah.
Oh, like Zapane. Zapane, yeah. Zap the pain. Zap the pain away.
It's 30 milligrams of codeine.
30 milligrams of codeine.
And 500 milligrams of paracetamol.
500 milligrams of paracetamol. So Zapane, codeine and paracetamol. Anything else?
No, Zapane is the codeine.
Oh, that's what that is. All right. And have you had any booze?
I have. Yeah.
What have you had?
I'm just drinking lager.
How many lagers you had?
Oh, way too many.
You've had how many lagers? What, 5, 10?
No, I was drinking all day yesterday and
yesterday.
All day yesterday and today you've been drinking. And what time did you take these pills?
About 3 hours ago.
3 hours ago. All right, there we go. We're just getting all that information to the medical station. Oh, man. It's a funny old world, isn't it, Mark? I know what it's like to think that everything is hopeless. And tomorrow I'm going to get to see my boys. And I'm using that not to show off, but to say if I had killed myself the few times that I'd really seriously considered it, I wouldn't be seeing my boys tomorrow. There is stuff. There is still good stuff to look forward to.
I completely understand that. And the thing is, when you see tablets and they say they're painkillers,
yeah,
they don't actually kill the pain, do they?
No, they're for the physical pain of, you know, breaking an arm or smacking your head or something. They're not for the deep, empty pain that we feel when we think that our lives are completely worthless and pointless and we've effed everything up. There's always a better way. There's always an alternative, Mark. Are you having a piss?
No.
I'm in the kitchen. I thought you were having a wee!
No, I'm in the kitchen.
Good. Have some water. Water's... I'd imagine water's a good thing to have right now.
Yeah.
You got a bit of a headache?
Not at the moment, no.
I bet you might have one in the morning. All right, Mark, I am going to put the phone down. Because the ambulance want to phone you up. And then I'm going to give you a call in about 15 minutes when I'm in my car.
Okay.
My phone number ends 930. Okay? So if you see a phone number flash up that ends 930, that's me. But I'm going to hang up now. So I'm just letting you know I'm hanging up now. And the ambulance are going to call you in a minute or two, okay?
Okay.
You're a good man, Mark. I will speak to you in about 10, 15 minutes. 15 minutes, because I need to get downstairs.
Thank you, Ian.
No, mate, thank you. Thank you for showing me, reminding me of what it's like out there. I'm going to let you go, because I don't want the ambulance to miss you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Golly gosh. It's all go. Well done, Elif. Well done. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. I'll give him a call in a bit. Blimey. Oh, blimey, Governor. Do I have an out time, Alex? 58. Bang on 58. Oh, beautiful. Let's take one more of these just to see. Now we get someone throwing around the N-word. That's the kind of show we've had tonight. Hello, Line 2. You're on the wireless. Hello?
Hello, it's Merseyside Police here. We've had a phone call regarding the fact that somebody's phoned into your show.
Okay.
You're threatening an overdose.
Yeah, we're on top of that. Thank you very much. I'm going to pass you back to the producer. Thank you very much. You talk to them, please, Elif. Good luck. Good luck. You just don't know who to trust these days. I'm sure that probably is the police, but we are on top of that. Man alive. What a show. What a show we've had tonight. Look, all your kind tweets. Kate, do you want to come in? We've got 45 seconds, sorry. Kate Borsay's in for Daryl tonight. Come and sit down. You're right.
Yeah.
You're very glamorous. I always feel very underdressed in these situations.
It's been a bit of a show for you, hasn't it? And it always... Do you know what, though? The way that you are with people... And what you were saying to that caller, and just keeping him going, just keeping him there, it astonishes me, and it's a bit of a gift, isn't it?
Did you hear the woman who kept throwing the N-word around?
I did also hear that, yeah.
Highs and lows. I think it might be a contrast. Full moon. We're out of time. Kate is up next. Do stay tuned. I've got my eye on Mark. I'm going to give him a call in a bit. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.